please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. It is welcome to the program, episode 36M of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. Crash Test Dummies. They had a couple of hits. I listened to their essentials the other day, as a matter of fact. They got five good songs. They got five. They got more than that. But they're not bad. I got no problem with those guys. I got no problem with the Dummies.
I don't know what I'm more surprised by, that they have an Essentials collection or that you listen to it. I think it's the second thing, that you listen to it surprises me.
Here's what happened. It was one of their tunes popped up on Sirius XM, and I went, I'll listen to those guys. And then it might not be a Apple Music Essentials. It may have been just a best of or whatever somebody put together. But I listened to, you know, you got that one. You got the...
I don't remember a second. I mean, I know they had a follow-up.
Well, yeah, once through. Well, oh. No, that's they got no, that's Superman.
Okay.
Was a hit.
Vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Shit, what was the other? They had the one before. Mm-mm.
Oh.
And I think I saw them like at Letterman or something like that. Huh. I believe that's where I. Or no, no. Was it SNL? Where were they? They were on something.
I don't know.
And so I. Because there's a, I believe is off their second album, isn't it? Again, you guys don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know why I keep going.
This is what's
I
crazy
have that
is
single. That's all I have.
Was it a ca single?
No, I think it was a CD mini or whatever.
All right, you got the Superman song, and then you got Superman song. You made that's probably the other one you know.
Yeah, but I can't pull it.
Well.
Once there was a Superman.
Tarzan wasn't a ladies' man.
Yeah, I remember this.
He just come along and scoop my bunder is on like that.
Then eventually he just goes, Superman never made any money.
Yeah. Now you're. You insist you hate the 90s, but I consider that a very 90s band.
I do, but they don't have the 90s sound.
Right. Well, yes.
Well, except for the way he sings.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it falls. I think he's his own unique style of singing that could have happened in any decade, and it either would have hit or it didn't, and it hit for a minute.
They were Canadian, right?
I want to say they're Canadian, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
My feeling was that there was in the grunge 90s sort of thing, they were trying to do stuff that wasn't what pop music was doing. And that's kind of how I saw it. Wasn't necessarily the super gravelly stuff, but it was like, or instead of being super gravelly, we're going to be super low.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we'll never know. I think it's the guy's voice. And
they're also far more orchestral than... Oh, like yeah. A Pearl Jam or a...
Sure. Thank you, Garen. Garen, do me a favor. You're closer. Whisper to like the shut the fuck up. That's usually the,
to
the
me, that was more like a like the way R.E.M. blew up. Like it was like R.E.M. kind of... the way I experienced it, R.E.M. kind of kicked the door open for a lot of what they called college rock at the time. And I would consider them and Bare Naked Ladies, stuff like that, to be kind of college rock as opposed to... It's not grunge, obviously.
I would not put Bare Naked Ladies in there, but I hear what you're saying. Okay. I take your point. I would put these guys in college rock. No question about it. No question about it.
And
we're not questioning it.
Okay. I'm not going to. I'm just glad that that happened because, you know, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't great, but it changed, you know, there was just sort of like, it was just a refreshing change to hear some stuff that you wouldn't have heard before on MTV or wherever you were finding music. So God bless them.
God bless the Crash Test Dummies. Are they on tour? I wonder if they're on tour today, Garen. Speaking of tours, I'm going to see Simple Minds tonight.
Huh.
As a reminder, I bought a ticket to see Simple Minds, and then an email came through saying 2-for-1 tickets, and I went on to buy a 2-for-1 ticket package and saw that I already had bought a ticket. So that tells you how invested I am into the show. I've got to go for an ultrasound after the show today, and then depending on traffic, I may have to go directly from ultrasound to Simple Minds.
Mm-hmm.
Opening bands, by the way, Modern English and Soft Cell.
Yeah.
So kind of don't want to miss them. I wouldn't mind seeing Tainted Love live.
Sure.
Right? A Mark Almond. I can't say Almond.
Is there a band called Ultrasound? Because if there isn't, there should be.
There isn't. And then I'm going to... There might be. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? I don't know every band. But I don't disagree. There is an Ultravox.
Sure.
With a great mid-year.
There is an ultrasound band.
Yeah, there's ultrasound. They're great. They're one of the best. 1993. They're from Canada. And then so it's down at the Forum, which is near my home. And again, depending on traffic, I may have to go directly to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
I have my if anybody's looking at a map, and we talk maps way too often on this program for an audio medium. We are in the Valley, Sherman Oaks. My ultrasound is in Santa Clarita, which is basically where it's literally across the street from Magic Mountain,
yeah,
where I have to go, which is about 30 minutes north of here, depending on traffic. That also could be an hour and a half north, depending mm-hmm. on traffic. It could also be 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is at 3:30. I believe I have to be there at 3 for a 3:30 appointment. And then, depending on how long that takes, it could be... I'm driving home from Magic Mountain at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Which is, as we know, the worst fucking yes. time mm-hmm. to be driving from there in this town. So it's going to be...
Is it bad coming back in?
Yes.
L.A. as opposed to going back out?
It won't be bad until...
Once you get into this
basically
area.
Here.
Once yeah. you're here, okay.
Yeah, and then it will be, and then it's just gridlock. It's just, and you're already, I guess it's the 5, so it's 5 into the 405, so, or you can take that through downtown, but either way, it's going to be a nightmare. It's, mm-hmm. Now that I say all this out loud, it's not going to take me 3 hours. I mean, it could.
But it's that weird thing where it's like, do you go home so that you can walk in the door and turn around 15 minutes later and leave?
I don't know. Now, the good news is the Forum is right near my house.
Yeah.
So that is not, it's not that far out of the way.
Yeah.
You
might almost just want to.
Not go?
Yeah, just bail on this whole thing. No, just, I don't know, find a place to go eat. There's nothing good around there, I guess. Or maybe there's something.
Around where?
Around the Forum, just like get there a little earlier than you would normally get there and then just eat outside.
You. There's nothing around the Forum.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be there more than I have to, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's, I usually like showing up when the headliner is, the lights are dimming
mm-hmm.
and it's showtime.
Yeah.
But again, I do want to see Soft Cell and Modern English. I've seen Modern English before. I've never seen Soft Cell.
I heard,
and I've never seen Simple Minds, and I like upwards of 3 of their songs, and I bet you couldn't even name the third.
Don't You Forget About Me,
mm-hmm.
number one of the Bullet.
Yeah, which right they is either end of set before encore, like that's the last song of the set,
yeah,
and then encore, whatever they do in the encore for the tried and true Simple Minds fans for the encore,
mm-hmm.
or is it the last very last song? I don't want to know, Garen. Do not look it up.
I know nothing about this band, but I'm going to guess they don't close the encore with their biggest song. Like that, I feel like they're probably the type of band, again, knowing absolutely nothing about them,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they don't want to be like, yeah, we know this is the only thing people care about, so we'll put it all the way at the end. Like they might, they might finish the regular set with it.
That's where I anticipate.
And then here comes the encore for the real fans, which is honestly probably what I would do too, because it's like fuck you if you're only here for that, and not fuck you. I don't know.
I think if I may,
it's more of a fuck you to put
90% of the people are there for that.
Yeah.
What are the other two songs? The other two songs, by the way, that I know and like.
Yeah. Well, I can't pull this. There's one other one that we all know. If we hear it, we know it.
There's two more that you know.
Okay. I can't pull either of them at the moment.
Garrett's taking off.
I will say that I was at Charlie's Middle School last night for the... they do a choir awards show. So it's mm-hmm. like awards and performances mixed together.
Kind of the kid get a patch, a certificate?
He didn't get shit.
Oh, nothing.
No, it was like a few kids in each choir get a little plaque, and then everyone else is just there to clap and then sing. Anyway, the eighth graders who are there, the ones obviously going off to high school, they performed their like goodbye song was "Don't You Forget About Me," which gotta say, a group of 13, 14 year old kids singing that song, absolutely fantastic.
They liked it.
I loved it. Yeah. Very, I mean, also you get caught up in, I'm sure if it was Charlie who was the one who was moving on, I would have probably cried, but it got me a little bit.
Sure, of course. Why wouldn't it? Of course it would.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, we wish those kids luck on their new venture.
Sure.
No doubt about that. As they go forth in life.
Is there like some poison tree or something? No, or am I thinking of? That might be Culture Club I'm thinking of. Like a poison?
That's Church of the Poison Mind, which is their best song by far.
And then there's Shoot That
Poison Arrow. I like a lot of, that's ABC.
Yeah.
I like a lot of Culture Club, but Church of the Poison Mind is, for me, their best song. And then,
how can you give us a hint about the second most famous song?
If you were, here we go. If you were to rescue a drowning person, and they made it.
In the Air Tonight.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a fun guess. I'm not mad at that guess.
It'd be more like a sequel to that song.
Kind of. <yeah.
laughs> Or drown the guy, and then someone else saves him.
Sure. Maybe Simple Minds was on the other side of that body of water.
Be great. It would be great.
Lifeguard Success.
That's it. Garen got it.
Hey, number one single, Lifeguard Success.
Wait, if someone was drowning and you saved them, and then what? What were you
saying? And then they made it.
They survived.
So this is not a good guess. I mean, it's not a good clue, but it's a clue without giving things away.
Yeah,
it's three words. Middle word is small.
Oh.
No, literally small, feet? Small or like a?
The word small or a small word?
It is, if we're playing charades, I would give you this.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I would give you
live to tell.
Wait, save the day?
It is not save the day. How would you this is how you would describe that person.
Oh, okay.
Alive and well?
Alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking. Yeah, that's a great song.
Right, there's one of them, and then the other one is Sanctify Yourself.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, Sanctify Yourself.
Sure, I know that song.
Which may be my favorite Simple Minds song of the three that I love.
What's the clue you would have given for that one?
I would not have given it. That's why I revealed it immediately, Garen. Sanctify Yourself. Sanctify. The great Jim Kerr on vocal. Married to who? Married to who?
Say his name again.
I believe it's Jim Kerr, is it not?
Oh, married to Steve Kerr, the coach of the
yes,
Golden State.
That's why
Warriors.
Steve Kerr is so
so outspoken. Politically.
Yeah, I believe it's Jim Kerr, isn't it? Not the lead singer of Simple Minds, Garen? Jim Kerr.
Yes,
Kerr, and he's married to who?
Is it a famous actress from the '80s?
It is not an actress.
A famous singer.
Yeah, a very famous singer.
Okay, Annie Lennox.
No, but you're not far. You're not far off.
Kylie Minogue.
you are far off.
And not far off with Annie Lennox.
And by that I mean had some solo, but is mostly known for a band.
Oh,
although I guess at this point Annie Lennox is probably more known for solo than Eurythmics.
Probably. Hmm. I thought maybe it was Susan Powder because of the hair.
You're on one today, man. I'm just going to say it. He really, like, right? Am I crazy or is he just like on a fucking kick?
What do you mean by a kick?
He's on his shit again.
Pill?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my doctor prescribed it. I can't imagine they would do that to you. Why would they? You're already there. You don't need medicine.
Well, there's other conditions that I have that it has to balance out. So
what would the other conditions be?
What if his doctor is an old doctor of yours that didn't like you?
You know what? There's probably a handful of those. There's
or
no
if
doubt
it's
about
so
it.
Deep that it's like one of your current doctors who's like, I need Jimmy to stay a certain stress level so he keeps having to come back here. So I'm going to give this guy a pill to make him annoying enough that it annoys Jimmy to the point that the stress breaks his body down just enough so he has to come back to my office every month.
He's prescribed me for you.
I got news for you. No doctor wants to see me anymore. they're done with me.
Even if they initially enjoyed the business, they're now like, okay, please be healed.
Just be healed.
I like that shirt, by the way.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a cool shirt.
It's the original company, the original Broadway logo of company, not the Not that new one with that that gender swap not that logo. Bullshit. Not that bull. Not that woke bullshit logo. This is the original logo when a man played the lead role.
I don't need to see DEI company.
Thank you. God damn it. Enough of the fucking flip-flop casting.
What if this was something we were really mad about?
Well, then we'd be Theo Vaughn show, I think. Yeah. Theo Vaughn, by the way, I saw that the how many listeners Theo Vaughn has. How many listeners Theo... you know, there's been this... Chrissy Hynde, by the way, is the answer to who he was married to.
Interesting.
There's been this conversation this past week of the left needs to find their Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, the Joe Rogan thing happened organically. You can't just... As did Rush Limbaugh. Like, all of that shit happened organically. By the way, Adam Carolla's got to be furious that Joe Rogan...
he really swept in.
Past him. Like, because he was on that path. And Adam Carolla's still very successful.
Yeah.
By the way, so there was this this graphic of, like, in the middle was Joe Rogan, a huge circle, and how many listeners he had. And then other red circles, and then the blue circles. And, like, Podcast America had a circle that was much smaller than I thought it would be. Media something? Media... Oh, what's the name of that?
Well, there's those brothers that we talked about a month ago or so. The
Midas? Krasenstein?
That's it, Midas.
Yeah,
Midas
Touch. The Midas Touch.
Those guys. Yeah. I believe they were the biggest of the blue circle.
Yeah.
So they were the big. They were the biggest blue. But then I want to say second or third in the red was Theo Vaughn.
Yeah.
And Tim Pool, by the way, who gets White Sox, White House press briefing access, only has like 5.9 million listeners. Now, when I say only, we would welcome that, of course.
Yeah. First of all, that's north of the guess I was going to give you for Theo Vaughn. So now I'm scared.
Oh, okay. So
5.9 is insane.
It is. I will tell you this, I was surprised by this based on how often he trends on Twitter for nonsense. Jimmy Dore was not on this grid, was not on there. And I expected him to be based on the other numbers that were happening on this graphic.
The weird thing is, I don't even know. Like, if you told me Jimmy Dore doesn't have a podcast, I'd be like, okay, I'm not aware of his. He obviously used to do a podcast with Todd Glass, but like, I'm not aware of him having a podcast as much as he's just out there on social media being annoying and saying his shit. But so he has a podcast.
Well, he's got a like a YouTube show that is also released as a podcast. Gotcha. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
The Jimmy Dore show with arguably the worst logo you've ever seen in your life. And that is, if I'm insulting the artist, then change it, because it's amateur. I'll say this. I think Jimmy Dore's show is ridiculous, but what he puts into it, his logo should be better.
Well, just as we know, you're saying it's not on this graph, but we know he has a certain level of success that would allow him to hire a professional.
He was able to buy a compound in Studio City, so he's doing fine.
Maybe it was compound in Studio City or Good Logo. Or you can't logo. Have both.
Then you know what? Then go to Fiverr and get yourself a logo. It is not a good-looking logo, is my point.
Yeah.
Now, that said, when I looked at this, he may very well be on there. The graphic was such that when I, you know, expanded it so that I could see the numbers better, the smaller ones were not legible. So it's possible Jimmy is on there somewhere. But I don't remember even seeing Adam Carolla. But the Theo Vaughn one was the one that jumped out to me.
So you're saying, are you challenging us to guess that?
Well, that was the premise, yes.
Okay, I'm going to try. Now that I know it's bigger than Tim Pool, who you said is 5.9.
I believe Tim Pool was at 5.9. Okay. Gary, did you find that graphic? Are you looking at it?
No, I don't have it yet.
Well, I don't know how you'd find it.
I don't even know what that would be.
I don't either.
Was it part of an article about...
Yes, it was the premise of, the left needs to find it. And, and here's, by comparison, here are all the right ones. And just the number of red circles on this thing compared to the blue.
The flaw of that argument is that Trump didn't win because of Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a symptom of the overall societal issue that created an environment that allowed Trump to be reelected. It's not like you could manufacture somebody who counterweights that, and then that would magically allow a Democrat to win. It's like we are, as a society, we have a problem, and Fox News is a symptom of it. I'm not saying they are. The popularity of them is a symptom of it. The popularity of Joe Rogan. Like, Joe Rogan existed for a while, and it was like whatever it was. There's other people that exist, and it's like they're popular because of our society having.
That's what I said earlier. Yeah. It all happened organically.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So like
you can't appoint somebody. Here's the and if one wanted to, I mean, at one point it was probably Bill Maher.
Right.
I don't think he is at all anymore, but.
Right. But something about
Jon Stewart.
Like, I don't know that there's an.
Yeah.
The reason that never happens is. Yeah, I guess Jon Stewart could do it. But, yeah. But like.
But maybe because he both sides some things.
Well, yeah, not only that, but often. Like. Because the liberal progressive wing is very, very litmus testy. If you have 12 opinions they agree with, but one they don't, the one they don't is the one you're gonna eject you.
Right.
Yeah. It's easier for like the right has an easier time falling in line with whatever.
Well, because on the right, if you have that one thing that they don't like, they will basically send you a message and say, "Hey, stop saying that," and then they stop saying that.
Yeah.
Because they fall in line.
But yeah, I also just kind of think, I mean, maybe this is a massive generalization. It definitely is, but it just kind of seems like the people who are anti-Trump, anti-MAGA, whatever, they're not all like-minded. They're just there's a lot of different types of people who are like, this is terrible.
Well, I mean, George Conway is a perfect example. He's still a conservative guy who policy-wise,
yeah,
we would not agree with him at all.
Right.
But he's so anti-Trump that right. We go, well, you know, he's an ally.
Right. But so but I just feel like there's generally a lot more diversity of opinion on the left or even left center or whatever. And so to get all those people to coalesce around one show, and also like those shows are popular because they're sort of, they're candy for people. Like it's not healthy intellectually. Whereas like if you're trying to do something progressive and positive, it's like that's going to be like eating broccoli every day if you're listening to it.
I would guess the closest would be Rachel Maddow. But Rachel, when Rachel stepped back from MSNBC and only was going to do one night a week, if she had then gone into the podcast, maybe she. I mean, I believe they released her show as a podcast.
They must, yeah.
But she already was a person,
mm-hmm.
So it's. It wasn't going to organically then equal Joe Rogan.
Right. And also, like, I agree with Rachel Maddow, and I listen to podcasts, but I don't listen to Rachel Maddow's podcast. You know, it's like I don't feel the need to listen to a show that just says, you know, hey, here's what you think. I'm saying it back to you. Whereas I think people, I don't know, maybe people don't do that either on the right.
But oh, I believe they do, which is why it's happening. It's like, you know, I too believe in chemtrails.
And well, that's the thing.
I too believe in not getting the vax.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that's telling me that I'm correct in my thoughts.
And it's more fun. I honestly don't agree with Joe Rogan, but it's more fun to listen to someone talk about crazy shit than to just talk about policy.
But they're not listening to it for crazy shit. They're
well,
on,
they agree with
it. They're on board with
but
it.
But don't you think some of them at least started out one way and then over time they sort of their opinions and their mindset changed as a result of listening to him? Like they didn't start out going, hey, I'm a fucking nut job who believes in conspiracy theories. They're just like, oh, I like comedians and this is interesting.
Yes, I do believe that.
And that's the problem.
The other reason why I think Maddow couldn't be the alternative to Joe Rogan in that way is that, like, Joe Rogan talks about other stuff, like hunting or lifting weights or whatever.
It's a lifestyle brand.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't, honestly, I think Rachel Maddow fishes?
She fishes.
I didn't know that.
She fishes.
She's brought it up a couple times.
She will occasionally bring post photos of her with a fish in a boat.
Yeah. And yeah, so,
Henry Winkler style.
Love it.
So I don't know if she would interestingly talk about fishing or some other topic that isn't politics, but Joe doesn't just talk about that. And when he has the long interviews, usually some of those things come up. Whereas with Rachel Maddow, it is kind of like Bill Nye, the science guy for politics in a way. Like she's just really focusing on that.
At the moment, you know, back when she took over for Keith Olbermann on MSNBC or when she was, I think she was already on the channel, but then like, got promoted to his time slot. Back before it is, you know, the world is politics all the, you know, all day, all, you know, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
She did talk about other stories.
Hmm.
So, sure. You know, she was,
I'm sure she's capable of it. I can't visualize in my head what that would be like.
I think we know her too well already. People didn't know Joe Rogan. You knew who he was, but you didn't. And you went, oh, here's a famous guy with a podcast and it had a bro energy. It attracted the bro energy because of his MMA and bug-eating bullshit.
Bug-eating bullshit.
It all went. All right. So anyway, try to guess here. Theo Vaughn's audience. And again, this I believe this is the number that I saw.
So yeah, it's a number we're looking
for. I'll just throw a random. I'm going to say 8 million.
All right.
All right. So Joe Rogan is in the hundreds of millions at this point, right?
I believe that was the
really?
in this bubble. What's that, Garen?
No.
What do you got?
Joe Rogan has 39.9 million, according to this bubble.
And you found the bubble graphic?
I did find the bubble, yes.
39 point something, and he's right in the middle.
Yes.
And then Theo Vaughn is like, if he's in the middle, Theo Vaughn is like at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock on that graph?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He's the moon to Joe Rogan's earth. Yeah.
So and it is the second biggest red circle, is it not?
Third.
Oh, it's third. Nope.
Fourth biggest.
Who are the two in between?
It is the fifth biggest bubble.
Don't give the number. All right, so the biggest bubble is Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan is the biggest bubble.
And then you got?
Ben Shapiro.
Right, okay, of course.
Then you have Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
Of course.
Russell Brand.
What?
Oh, boy.
And then Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn. So he's fifth then. Total.
That's what he said, yes.
All right, I was starting to feel bad about my guess, but now I'm feeling better about it again.
So you're going 8 million?
I'm sticking with 8.
What are you going with, Elliot?
I still feel like I might be low.
I'll say 6.5.
All right. Oh. Garen Crockle, will you please reveal what that bubble says for Theo Vaughn's audience?
22.3 million.
Oh, my gosh. Which means that all those other people are higher than 22.3, by the by.
Yeah, I can imagine Ben Shapiro being there. Ben Shapiro was a radio personality before he was a podcaster. Yeah. So, but Theo Vaughn, who has had a podcast for 5 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it that even? I mean, to have 22 million, those are banana numbers.
It's crazy, man.
Those are banana numbers. What's the biggest? Go ahead, Garen.
I was just going to say, I've seen clips of Theo Vaughn. He does occasionally make me laugh, and I never knew officially if he was right wing or if he just floated in that circle because of his comedian friends. You know what I mean? Like Joe Rogan or that other dude.
He was playing games for a while where he was consciously not making it known or clear.
Yeah.
But that sort of fell by the wayside when he had Donald J. Trump on his podcast.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't Donald Trump on there?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
No, he's you know, the I don't think the mullet's ironic.
Yeah. The thing is, he was in our world a little bit for a while. Like, I remember him being on Road Rules or whatever the friggin' MTV show was on, like, so long ago. And then I remember, he started popping up in LA comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this guy's doing comedy now. That's interesting. And he was definitely maybe more of a store guy or whatever. Like, he wasn't like a UCB guy necessarily, but he was, you know, sort of in the world. You probably met him. And
well, I did that show with him, the one that he hosted on TBS that Howie Mandel produced.
Yeah.
It was that prank, the prank show where you're in somebody's ear telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And if they do the 5G, they win
money or something. Right, right.
And I'll say this. He was a nice guy. I enjoyed my day with him.
Yeah.
We shot two episodes. One was great. One was shit. And I don't even think they aired it. And I will blame myself for most of that one being shit.
Oh.
The first one that we taped was phenomenal, and the second one just didn't fucking work. And the more it wasn't working, the less my brain was giving me funny things to say. And Theo, but Theo was a very nice man.
Yeah.
At the time, I don't know, maybe he's still a nice guy, but a lot of what he says is not my bag.
Yeah.
But he's got 22 million people that do want to hear what he has to say.
Wow. What's interesting? I mean, look, I don't pay attention to this kind of thing, like what the clearly the entire podcast space has grown. But you and I mean, I remember when it was insane that, I don't know, was it Marin or somebody got to 1 million listeners and it was like, holy shit, there's a podcast with 1 million listeners. Like, that still seems mind blowing to me. And now that's chump change to these guys.
It is. To that point, Pod Saves America has how many, Garen? I believe they're over like around 3 o'clock, if I'm remembering. Where
1.9.
Yeah, they've only got 1.9. And the way that people talk about Pod Saves America, you would think they also have 20 million listeners.
Right.
They have 1.9.
This chart, it's 2 to 1 in terms of shows right to left.
Right. And that's the point of the article. The point is there's not even a lot of left-wing podcasts.
No, because these people are – none of these people are serious people. They're all conspiracy nuts.
Right.
None of them know what they're talking about, and they are just feeding a machine of ignorance that just populates itself. None of these people are doing anything of any value.
We don't know what we're talking about. Why can't we have a million listeners?
Well, that's not to say we don't. But here's the thing, Garrett. Jimmy Dore is not on there, right? I'm not.
No,
wrong.
But some of them are just numbers. Like, it'll say 1 million, and who's to say who that is?
Oh, I see.
It doesn't have a name on it. It's just
Who's the biggest blue one? Is it the Midas?
No, it's Trevor Noah.
Oh, huh.
Good 21.2 million.
Good for
Wow.
Him.
Young Turks. Turks that has 12 sense. Million. Breakfast Club has 11.4 million.
Never heard of that one.
They're the...
Isn't that a hip-hop show?
The black hip-hop show, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think isn't it with what's his name?
Charlemagne?
Charlemagne.
Oh, Charlemagne the God. Yeah.
Midas Touch has 6.4. David Pacman, 3.9.
I don't know who that is.
He's a
Pac-Man. It's from the
circle.
Game.
He likes to eat ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie has 3.2 million. I've never even heard of that before.
Really?
Or that.
You've never heard? Yeah.
No.
I didn't hear about it until you just told me about it.
Yeah. 3.5 million. 3.2 million.
I just, we are not, I guess I'll speak for myself. I am not in the world of like, I don't know who listens to those shows. Like I can imagine in my mind who listens to Joe Rogan. Like I, you know, you run into those people, but I don't know who listens to a left-wing podcast. It's just interesting. Like to me, it just seems like people that we all know, they don't listen to political podcasts. If they listen to a podcast, it's something like true crimey or fun or mm-hmm. comedy, you know, whatever. Like I can't imagine being like, you know, I'm going to spend an hour listening to this guy. And I'll watch videos on YouTube about politics.
I think
but
we get enough from MSNBC. I think we get it.
I mean, I guess there's people who don't watch cable news, which is probably good. But yeah, that's their way of keeping up on things. But I don't know. If you want to keep up on things, I try to find like a neutral, as much as there can be a neutral thing.
But
like
I don't think people want to do that.
Yeah. But, well, I guess that's clearly considered boring too. But.
What, Garen, the, wait, I had a question about that list of things. Is sisters-in-law on there in a blue bubble? Those are those three former district attorneys, I believe, that now... have a pot, you know, they're pundits, you know, at the beck and call of MSNBC when they're needed to comment on law things. But then right after the 2016, the three of them then started a podcast, and just like Pod Saves America, it was huge because that is when people were diving into the, from the left, I need to listen to somebody tell me that I'm not going insane.
Yeah.
And these three women did a nice job of that. I forget who they're the one I want to say might be from Michigan. There's, again, three women. Joyce Vance, but they were, but I don't remember seeing a circle of them, and they were humongous.
Yeah.
Which was weird to me. Like, they went from not having a podcast to selling out the Beacon Theater.
Right, right. Yeah. This is all to me under the heading of like people following politics like sport, which I know people have done forever, but I don't look at it that way. And I don't, like, you and I think we agree. Like, we don't want to be having to follow all this shit. It's like you sort of do it because it's like things are so messed up, you feel obligated to keep track of it a little bit, so that you're ready for the war that's coming or whatever. I don't know. Like, yes. just you have to be somewhat engaged because it's irresponsible not to be. But I would love to go back to a time when we didn't have to do that. And maybe that's privilege. I guess it is on some level. But it's just like this. The people who are like into it on that level is like, that's so odd to me.
But they're really I don't disagree.
I'm going to say something crazy. I don't believe that half of these numbers are real.
Why do you say that?
I think they're inflated numbers. I think they're farmed.
Yeah,
I don't think the general Republican voting audience knows what a fucking podcast even is, let alone 39 million of them. Well, Joe Rogan. I don't consider Joe Rogan a Republican podcast. He's pushing right wing, but he's a conspiracy podcast. He's Alex Jones Light. I think his impact is too strong.
But I think Theo dances in that world as well. I believe As does Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro says banana thing. I disagree with you, Garen. I believe that those five podcasts are that huge because those are the names you hear. Well, and Tim Pool, for some fucking reason, who only has 6 million.
Yeah. I mean, even if the numbers aren't accurate, I imagine that the scale, like the relative numbers are. So if he's not 40 million, he's 10 million, then it all drops down the same way to everybody else as far as proportions go.
One thing I'll agree with is like if you're a certain level, it's because you're making a certain amount of money. Of course, it's possible to pay money to farm artificial numbers to inflate them, and then that helps your ad revenue. I would not put it past any of these people to do that. Like that's sort of like.
But I don't think they have to.
Maybe they don't have to.
I think those shows are humongous.
Yeah. I think what the thing that I think is important to realize also is that, you know, if you're on Spotify, then there's no friction to get to the podcast. If you've got to go to somebody's website, copy the RSS feed, plug it into your podcatcher, that's a technical thing that, the 65 to 75-year-old conspiracy theorist right-wing guy probably isn't on the ball for all that. But if you could just load Spotify and then see what they're showing.
And Spotify owns Joe Rogan, so they're promoting it. They're not just, it's not just there. It's like in your face there.
Yeah, right.
So that's a different thing.
And maybe the reason why they, you know, figured out how to get their teenage grandchild to install it on their iPad.
Well, and again, these are just the political, you know, we're not talking Conan O'Brien, smartless, you know, favorite call murder, daddy. Call her daddy number. You know, she has her own channel on SiriusXM.
I know. I listen to it religiously.
Oh, you do?
I don't enjoy her, but I enjoy the music she plays because it's very pop. And it's like pop from the last 20 years, which is kind of my sweet spot.
It is.
They're not on that. Your sisters aren't on this.
They're not.
They're not on it. But they might be one of the bubbles that doesn't have a name in it.
Right. The one million or whatever. Yeah. Well, I wish them a lot of luck.
I wish they would have a separate.
Like a list.
Like a list. Oh, yeah. But I believe, again, that bubble was there to show you the banana. I mean, clearly, whatever. A graphics there too.
What this graphics
make your Jimmy Pardo's dumb head understand what's happening.
What this tells me is that there's more money in right wing bullshit than there is in left wing bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's all this tells me.
Well, and that's why people like Theo Von wouldn't. I believe from what I know of him, he's not a political person. He's just going where the money is. And you know, like if it were
we don't know. We don't know his upbringing.
That's true.
Like he may have been like all of us just. Doing comedy and you don't speak your views, and then you know we decided to speak our views in a left leaning way, which then affects my sales in Dallas.
Yeah,
but Theo may have gone, oh, good, now I can talk about my upbringing from the Appalachians.
But if it weren't profitable to do that, he wouldn't do it. I assume. Like he's, I think it's like Joe Rogan showed, like if you do this, there it will bring people in, and it will grow. Things will grow if you just start talking nonsense, and clearly. Not all of them, but some of these guys are just doing it because it's they know they can make money doing it. They, you know, like it's the thing we had talked about with Jimmy Dore. It's like you don't really know how much he believes it.
Right.
Well, he was going there.
Yeah.
Nah.
He was going there. So we, you know, based on, you know, conversations at parties and whatnot.
Yeah.
Back when he would, you know, vacillate between being fun and funny to hang out with. And then he would say something. Outlandish, and I would say I don't need to hear your South Side bullshit.
Right.
And
well, I guess
that's South Side bullshit is, you know, what I grew up with, which was really just just really kind of all. It wasn't called at the time because it wasn't so broad. It was conspiracy theory of I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you this right now about what's going on over there at the post office.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you know what's going on at the post office? Guy at the record store? You know, so, and that's kind of what Jimmy became, is that guy. Just like with a megaphone.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's going on with the... How do you know this... a feature act from fucking Midway Airport neighborhood.
What I'm hearing, where are you hearing that?
Yeah, where are you hearing it? Yeah, where?
What drives me crazy is that these people love conspiracy theories, but the actual shit that the actual Republican Party is doing is conspiracy level shit, and they don't care at all. Like a fucking president being given a $400 million plane. as an open bribe.
That is a problem.
Is like, that's conspiracy theory fodder, except it's out in the open. So I guess they don't like it when it's so in their face. It has to be.
You got to work for it, Matt.
Well,
you
some,
don't, you clearly don't want them shaking your ass in your face.
But don't you think if that's what's happening on the surface, there's a lot of shit happening that
we don't
know about. So
but
like, why not dig into that stuff?
You are boring. You know what? Of all the things we've said here today, that's the thing I agree with.
That's the takeaway?
Yeah, that's the takeaway. You are boring.
Sure.
No question about it. And and by that, I mean, those are your initials. You, period, R, period, boring. That's your, that is your name. Put it up there.
That's your garbage pail kid.
Do not put it up there.
No, I'm not going to.
Excuse me.
It's my garbage pail kid. I like that.
Yeah, it's... well, we wish all of them luck in their gazillion-dollar ventures to ruin this country further. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I'm gonna misquote this, but it, when it comes to those conspiracy theorists, again, Joe Rogan, Jimmy Dore types, Theo Vaughn types, where it's... you tell them something outlandish, and they immediately believe it. But then you tell them fact. It's like, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And then they have to, like, they go, no, here's the five things that prove I'm telling you the truth. And they go, yeah, but those five things don't make sense.
Right.
Here's why that's not right. That at the same time, this banana thing I'm talking about is indisputable.
Right.
And that's where they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other people that live that way with their, whether they have them on or not, with their tinfoil hats, their foil on the windows.
Well, conspiracy theories are always like ultimately kind of simplistic, and it's sort of like they can tie everything together. And I think it makes people feel better to believe that there's some like boogeyman who's that's the real, like the deep state or whatever, is like, it can all be explained by that instead of, no, it's actually the problems are complicated and the solutions are therefore complicated. And that doesn't make anybody feel better. It just makes you feel kind of hopeless about everything. And that's not comforting. But if you want to like lay your head down at night and go, okay, now I can sleep. It's like, well, yeah, it's because of the lizard men.
Yeah. At her coming, Jim. It's banana times, too. And I am certainly not alone in this. I have a number of family that probably listen to Joe Rogan. Maybe they listen to Joe. I don't know who else they would listen to, but I can. I know for a fact that some of them listen to Joe Rogan and believe everything that he says. And they are the ones that will defend Joe by saying he's just asking questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, but you're having a whack job on your show. And somebody that is a known whack job
and not challenging
that's the big and then when given fact goes, oh well, that's not what I was thinking, like right. Just dismissing that. But at any rate, find that graphic, take a look at those bubbles.
Joe Rogan just wants to play with big dogs, and that's why he's opening the door to this Elon Musk shit and to Trump and all these people, because he feels like he's in with the big dogs.
Yeah.
And he's not, he's just their tool. He's just using his dumbass people and his dumbass fans to push their nonsense, horrific agenda, and it's irresponsible of him. If he wants to play both sides, he should be doing it. Have someone else sit in that room with them, with Elon. Have someone smart, one of the good guys. Like, get fucking Dean Withers in there, of all people.
You want Withers in there?
Anybody. If we have anybody on the left wing that seems to have a fucking head on their shoulders and can talk about it, get David Hogg in there. Get somebody who can refute what these idiots are saying.
Could you imagine David Hogg in that conversation? The everybody else's head in the room would explode.
But they already have their like pre-scripted ways of shutting down logic and truth, like the like people like that. They just go, nah, you know, like they've been confronted with that many times, and they've come up with ways of dismissing it all, like you said, instead of actually engaging with it, because that would be difficult and probably hurt their brains.
Garen, are we on that map?
Yeah, I think we're here. We're one of the numbers. Lower right hand.
How bizarre would that be if you look at there? It's never not funny. It's like, we're not a political podcast. You don't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah, we just spent 25 minutes talking about it.
You don't shut up about it.
Let's go back to the crash test dummies. Are they from Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Ultrasound is not. Oh. Or Ultras. What was that? Did you say?
Well, the Ultravox and Ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
Ultrasound is, they're from London.
As I believe Ultravox was originally. Midyear was just at Jesus Christ, what was the name of that festival that just was out? Cruel Summer? No.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
The sort of... Just Like
Summer? What?
No, I think it is...
No, Garrett, do your job.
Shit, what was it called? Yeah, the one with all the sort of 80s alternative bands.
The leading more gothy.
Yeah.
And the Go-Go's.
By the way, God bless the Go-Go's. I love the Go-Go's, but like I saw them when they were live streaming Coachella. I know the knock on them is they never really sounded good live, but I can tell you they do not sound good live now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Belinda's voice does not...
It's all a mess, man. Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah. The instruments too.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
I thought at least that...
Look it up. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, like, I'd like to know your opinion of it, but it didn't... Yeah, she's... It's hard to sing, you know, I think as you get older, your vocal cords, you know, whatever they...
Well, to that point, our friend Amy Mann, you know, Till Tuesday reunited for the first time in 30-something years. And did a Till Tuesday set at the Dark Shadows Festival. Why can't we think of the name of the... Is it Cruel Summer?
It's something summer. It's
Cruel...
Or is it something... Cruel World.
Cruel World, because it's... Cruel World. It's that is a...
Yeah, you got New Order. Song,
yeah.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Go-Go's Devo, OMD Death Cult, Garbage Madness, Till Tuesday, She Wants Revenge, Alison Moyet, Chelsea Wolfe, Blancmange, yeah. Marilux, Stereo MCs, She Passed Away, Buzzcocks, Nation of Language, Clan of the Zymox, Provoker, Depression Sonora, Kite, Midyore, Nenoface?
Yeah, they were there.
Actors, Deceits, Light Asylum, Wisteria, Social Order, and maybe this is the location, Club Doom? Or maybe that's a band.
Yeah, no, I believe Club Doom is one of the smaller stage, I think.
And this is in Pasadena, California, May 17th it happened.
Yeah, it just happened. Alison Moyet, it was her only West Coast appearance, which bummed me out because I'm not going to do that.
Right.
She's on her hits tour, but even on her website, in a career of 40 years, there are a lot of hits, which means you won't hear all of them. We are specifically telling you you will not hear Invisible and Blank. Already telling you, don't go in thinking you're going to hear Invisible, which, by the way, she hasn't done ever because she hates the song.
But does she sing Yaz songs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I really only know those, and I would love to hear that, but...
Did Garen lock himself out?
Oh, boy.
Yes, Garen? It is. Locked yourself out?
I didn't lock myself out.
Oh, we didn't lock you out.
Yeah.
Are you going to go on another rant? Because that was uncomfortable. I don't know about Withers, but...
Oh, yeah, you're Dean Withers horseshit.
You guys have never heard me go on a rant, believe me.
I see your social media. I'll say this. The Alison Moyet set list at that Cruel World looked good.
Yeah.
Mid-years looked great. Hmm. The Till Tuesday, I did see... Oh, so that was one. I saw she admitted that everything was tuned down. Amy Mann admitted, like, I don't sing like that anymore. Yeah. I sing a different way. Mm-hmm. So we have to adjust these Till Tuesday songs to be the way that I sing now.
Yeah.
And the one sad thing that happened to them was they finished, of course, with Voices Carry, and their set had gone long, so they were still playing Voices Carry as the stage was rotating.
Mm. Wow.
So the song that they all wanted to hear from Till Tuesday, they did not hear the very end of because
that's insane.
The stage rotated.
Wow.
Do your fucking time.
But apparently.
Sure.
But I'm with you.
Don't fucking do that to them.
Come on, man. If you're
3 minutes?
If you're in charge of that button,
yeah,
you see what's happening, and you know, oh, they're about to finish. But I guess if you did that for everybody,
then shows
if you gave everybody an extra, it's a little longer. One has to respect that they stayed to their time. Mm. The festival, I mean,
right?
Not Amy Mann with her loosey goosey clockwork.
Yeah, she seems like the loosiest and the goosiest.
But it sounded great. It sounded okay, cool. You know, if you like those tunes, and I do like I loved Till Tuesday back in the day, which is like one of those things where you know, I can text Amy Mann. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things, again, not like Tommy Shaw, but not at the level of Tommy Shaw because of my differences in music. But but it still blows my mind.
That's crazy.
That somebody whose album I bought the day it came out, heard that second Till Tuesday, I can text you?
Yeah.
Very bizarre. Elliot listed all those names there. You know, Midyear co-wrote Do They Know It's Christmas? That's you know, and he's the leader of Ultravox, and he's had other solo hits, more so overseas than here. He was much bigger overseas, but he came in after Kite, the guy who wrote.
I know he was reading all those names. I was like, I don't think you need to keep going. This is all things we've never heard of before. And then here's Midyear,
after Kite.
Yeah,
yeah.
What was the festival again? Was it Cruel Summer?
Cruel World.
Cruel World.
Cruel World.
I was thinking just like Heaven, but that's the punk pop. thing, like the Paramore kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but
like,
did you? I don't know. You're ignoring the fact. Did you not hear the Kite was there, Gary?
With a K-I or K-Y?
I couldn't tell you how to spell it. I don't even know. I'm sure I'm going to get an email. Hey, asshole, Kite, blah, 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 blah. It's great. Look, I hope you love them. I don't know them.
But the point is, you are of an age and a musical taste where you know all those bands.
Whether they're my bag or not.
Right. Right. You know them. And then it got to a point where it's like, now you don't know them. And that's what all festivals
and then Midger
have. And then Midger.
Yeah. Midger and Kite are at the fourth font size.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And with only one additional smaller font size after that.
Which I believe, if you look close enough, my name is on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? If you zoom in, that's how small it gets. It does say Jimmy Pardo question mark.
Although maybe that's where you see Sisters-in-Law. Like somehow their podcast showed up there.
I don't understand how the business model of those festivals, because couldn't you book 10 bands and make the same amount of money? The 10 biggest bands, just book them.
And be done with it.
And then you don't have to pay all those other bands, and the same number of tickets will get sold, right? Like, so why are you booking those other bands?
I'm going to 100% agree with you.
So strange.
And to that point, and I mean, don't disrespect to Kite. I don't know them. What was Kite paid for that?
Right.
Like, did they all get together and go, guys, we're all going to get $100, but won't it be fun to do it?
And good exposure, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, till Tuesday, knowing how she has tried to distance herself. I don't know this personally, by the way. Yeah. This is in interviews and stuff. She's tried to distance herself from till Tuesday. They must have been given a boatload of money.
It's been decades of people wanting that to happen without it happening.
And they got to see 90% of Voices Carry. and then they heard it as it faded into the distance as the band was facing the opposite direction.
Maybe they wanted that. Maybe they were like, you know what? We're just going to start playing it, then start turning the thing.
Yeah, because we
don't really want to play.
We barely want to be here.
Yeah.
All right, listen, let's take a break. Our buddy...
Chris Witowski?
Yeah.
What happened there?
You know what? I got to take a aspirin. Not an aspirin. What am I, a 90-year-old man? I have to take a...
you want a Withers?
A Tylenol.
Yeah. No, you want some Withers.
I want a Dean Withers. Don't get him started on Dean Withers. Get a fucking Dean Withers in there.
He really got fired up about Withers.
Oh, he loves him. That's his favorite of all the left-wing people.
Well, there's not a lot to choose from, let's be honest.
Yeah.
As that graph showed us.
You like that David Hogg. You like him, okay?
I like what he's trying to do.
And yeah, I do
clearly
too.
He's trying to do something good because they're stopping him. So,
yeah, he's the old guard seems to not want to relinquish the fact that they're the old guard. And once again, another one, a great one, by the way. I forget his name. Oh, my God, my mind is blanking. I couldn't think of Chris Witowski a second ago. the gentleman who died, the congressman who died.
Oh,
he was great in all those hearings. But he died, you know, he sadly had esophageal cancer, but,
Jerry Connolly.
He was, but he was another, you know, like so many really great in those, congressional meetings.
It's not the guy that bullied you in high school.
What's that?
Jerry Connolly.
Isn't that the guy that bullied you in high school?
That's Jerry O'Connor, who I do not have positive things to say.
He's the third House Democrat to die since March.
Yeah, right? I mean...
What's going on? What's happening?
Right, hey, we can start the conspiracy.
Here we go.
Hey. Yeah, let's get it going.
We got our bubble right here.
You know what my conspiracy is? They're old.
Yeah.
Get out.
Well, that's the
thing. Let the young blood in.
Let the young people...
It's clear that there's a movement for that. So let's
get
need,
to it. A desperate need.
And there are some older guys that are great. Who are still in their 60s.
But let's let some young people make some mistakes instead of the old people making mistakes because they're too tired to read a brief.
Thank you. That's the briefing with Elliot J. With You Are Boring. We'll be back.
Hey, gang. Matt here with some dates for you. Chris Witowski is on Instagram at Witow, W-I-T-O-W. He's also on The Bear. You've probably seen him on there. He's great on that. He's going to be in the upcoming Happy Gilmore 2, which I'm excited about. So look for him in that. And just look for him in those progressive commercials. Those are fun. Enjoy him wherever you find him, because that's what we do. Jimmy Pardo is going to be going to Texas this weekend. If you are in Plano, Texas, he's at the Mic Drop on May 28th. Austin, Texas, he's at the Creek in the Cave on May 29th. And then Salt Lake City, Utah, he's in the Rickles Room at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City on May 30th. Get out and see him, guys. I don't know when the next time he's going to be in your area, so I can't promise anything, but you should check him out there. June, he's going to be doing another Flappers local date in the Yoo-Hoo Room on June 7th. And then June 20th, he's hosting Pop Culture at the Ice House, 9:30 p.m. show. I'm sure you can find more on the Ice House website. But also just go to jimmypardo.com and click the shows link. You'll see all the info there and links to get tickets. So do that. And finally, I want to remind you, we are live streaming this the next episode of the show that will be happening on Tuesday because of Memorial Day. So Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time, we're live streaming for Tiers 2 and higher of the Platinum. So join us. I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do. When you're listening to the live stream, there's also a built-in chat in there, and you can actually chat with people if you go to the Mixlr page, which the link will be there on our site. People have fun chatting with each other while they're listening to us yammer yammer, jimmer jammer, as we do on our show. So enjoy the community of Never Not Funny in the chat room on the live stream May 27th, 12:30. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the... God, what is with that soft beep? I don't...
You talked about getting a new one of those.
Yeah, there was talk of the new timer.
There was also talk of me fucking off, probably.
So. Yeah, well, that's always on the table. I don't like... See, but it's back. Do I put my finger over the... At any rate, welcome back into the program, 36M. Chris Witowski is here. A buddy is a new friend. I'm going to say new friend of the program. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank
Only
you.
Second time here, but we welcome him. Lives as I look at his paperwork, I'm not going to blow up his spot. Lives closer than we thought.
That's right.
And I am now going to treat him like a Tony Randall in that if somebody bails on us last minute, yeah. I text Chris and go, hey, what are you doing? And we know this. He's an out-of-work actor. He's ready to go.
He did just admit to us that he's got nothing going on.
Yeah, you've got nothing to do. So you can't say, no, I'm busy. You've admitted off the air. You've got nothing else to do.
Did I tell you guys last time I was here when I first moved out here, Bob Odenkirk took me out to lunch, and he said to me, he goes, the hardest part about being an actor is what you do with yourself in between jobs. And he said to me, I recommend you get a hobby like woodworking. And, and I remember, I mean, I had just, you know, moved here. I was kicking ass at Second City in Chicago. And right. I moved out here and I was ready to take on the city and just start kicking ass. And I remember thinking, what is he, woodworking? Like, give me a fucking break. 100%. Okay, Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to start. And now, 10 years of living out here, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because you have these big stretches in between jobs where it's like, fuck, I should make a table.
And how's it look? My buddy, do you know Paul Gilmartin? Do you know Paul?
No, I know the name, but...
He got very heavily into woodworking. His garage is kind of a wood shop now, and he posts furniture, and I will say this, overly priced. he doesn't sell anything because he puts it at what he thinks the value should be, but it's like... Dude, nobody's buying a table from comedian Paul Gilmartin for $1,000. Lower that fucking price.
My buddy Bill Glass, who plays Dr. I'm in these progressive car insurance commercials, which, you know, if you bundle your home and auto, you can really.
hey. They didn't pay us, they paid you.
The guy who plays Dr. Rick, Bill Glass, old Chicago dudes, improv, he does pottery. And, like, that's why.
Really?
Yeah, he's taken up pottery and he loves it.
He's. As we talked about the last time you were here, you're phenomenal on there. All the people are that entire group of don't turn into your parents, that you're the gaggle of you, but he as the doctor is just amazing.
Great. I call him America's straight man.
Perfect.
Yes,
perfect.
He's great.
No, nobody needs to hear that.
Yeah.
God damn it, he's good. You're all good.
I think he actually gets frustrated because he's done so many of them now that he doesn't get to get any jokes. He's just setting everybody up and going, oh god, you know, rolling his eyes. And
yeah, but you know what, I laugh at him as much as I do you guys.
Totally agreed. Yes.
Who's the fella who it's the most recent? I don't know if it's recent or I'm seeing it during baseball games now. The guys at the gas station.
Yes. His name's Mike Nelson.
He's great too.
He's great.
You're all great.
Thank
but,
you. Yeah. He's so good. Very funny guy. Yeah.
And we talked about the last time you were here. They're mostly scripted, but they let you guys improvise a little bit.
Yes. They let the people who are good at improvising improvise a little bit. Which, you know what I've realized over the years? You don't realize that improvisation is a skill until you see someone who's bad at it.
Oh, yes.
And then you're like, oh, wait a second. I have this skill set that not a lot of people have.
Right.
Because some people try, it's just swing and a miss. And you're like, oh, baby. Maybe stick to the script on this one, Ricky.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say, because, you know, my whole act, my stand-up act is all improvised.
Yes.
I improvise everything. At least I try to. And when I see somebody who then tries to do crowd work or try to improvise, like, you've got jokes.
Yeah.
You're not good at this. Do that.
Totally. It's its own skill.
Yeah. It's its own skill. Quit trying to do something that you're not made to do.
Yes. Right.
But I wanted to also talk about two things that you mentioned with Bob Odenkirk is when I moved here, I moved into a building with John, I always get Henton. the guy who was on Living Single, the black comedic actor, and he was a stand-up, and he happened to be, he had a Maserati in the parking structure of this North Hollywood apartment, and this apartment complex on Otsego that was okay. Like, for, it's like where you move when you first move here, and you, you go, hey, you know what? Yeah, this is okay. And then you're 6 months in, you're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. He was still living there. And again, he had a Maserati in the garage.
So LA.
And so I run into him in the air, and I had worked on the road with him a number of times, and I saw him. I did not know he lived in the building. The elevator opens. I see him, and he's like, Jimmy, I go, John, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I live here. I'm like, I go, and he goes, you live here? You're on a fucking hit sitcom. What are you living here for? I didn't say that out loud. And then he, I said, I just moved here. And he said to me, temp work. That's the answer, temp work. And just like you, it infuriated me because it's like, I didn't move here to do temp work. I moved here to take the city by storm because I'm kicking it in Chicago, killing it in Chicago.
Yes.
And then here, and then maybe 2 years later, I was like, oh, he was right. Fucking temp work.
Temp work's the answer.
That's the answer.
You know, you're busy.
Because you stay in town. You're not on the road.
Yeah, right.
You're here ready to go at, you know, for auditions and stuff like that. So he was right.
Yes.
But it made me so mad because it was like, are you insulting my talent? Right. Are you questioning why I moved here? Like, all of it hit my head the wrong way.
Totally. Same.
But.
Same. Fucking woodworking. Give me a fucking break.
Oh, so what are you doing now? Now that it's your 10 years in, do you have a hobby?
So I'm doing a lot of sanding. I'm doing a lot of Dremel work. But Nick Offerman, by the way, also big woodworker. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Big built woodworker. A canoe.
Yeah.
I would call him a master woodworker.
He will not shut up about his canoe.
I know. He's very proud of it.
I mean, in fairness, you make a canoe.
That's impressive. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to build.
Do I have hobbies? I go to the gym. I do a lot of stuff. I have two dogs now, so a lot of dog stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to dog parks. Yeah, we're going, you know.
You also do a lot of psychedelics. I remember that from your last conversation.
That's right. Here. That's a big hobby of mine. Yeah. Sure. It gets me through the day. I'll still do psychedelics at concerts every once in a while. Yeah.
When you were last here, didn't you go to the Sphere to see Phish?
I did. Oh, my God.
Okay. So I'm not wrong about that.
Yeah, I did. I saw four nights of Phish at the Sphere. Whoa. They were the second band to play there after you two.
Right.
And it was mind blowing.
And have you been back to see the Eagles or
no,
fuck Dead and Company or anybody else there? You saw your four Fishy shows.
Let me tell you about Dead and Company. I like the Grateful Dead. I loved Jerry Garcia. I got into them in high school. But this current iteration is not the Grateful Dead. This John Mayer thing.
It's John Mayer and friends, basically, right? Is that the way to...
Yeah. I saw one of them, and I stood there and was like, okay, you know, I love these songs, but it's just like... I don't know. I think it's kind of an abomination.
Oh, wow. Goodness. And you're a purist. And so do you think everybody else that's going is just like faking it? Like, because they just don't want to move on with life. They're like
quite
still grasping onto it.
I think they love the songs. And so there is some nostalgic about hearing the songs and reconnecting to it. And, you know, I don't know. I think that they still jam and they still, but it's not what it was. I mean,
I see.
Yeah.
Is anybody left from the original?
Oh, yeah. Bob Weir.
Right. Okay.
But so Bob Weir took care of himself and like wasn't, as I understand it, wasn't partying super hard back in the day and would work out and ride bikes. And so him and then the two drummers are still alive. Yeah, Mickey Hart and Bill Kreutzmann. So
thank God we've got two drummers.
Yeah,
who are they? 38 Special? That's a joke because they got two drummers. Or they did.
The bass player, Phil Lesh, just died last year.
Yeah.
So three guys left and John Mayer and some other guys.
I'm kind of glad to hear you say that about that because I on paper, I would have assumed a real Grateful Dead fan would be completely against the idea of John Mayer thinking he can walk into the. But then he keeps doing it. So that must be popular on some level.
Yeah.
And I guess I was like, I assumed I was wrong in assuming that people had standards for what they were doing. But you're telling me it is not good.
My buddy, a buddy of mine named Brian, who runs this great Instagram account called Phish on Film, P-H-I-S-H on Film, and Film is P-H. He made T-shirts that are selling like hotcakes that say Jerry would have hated this.
Oh my God. And they're selling great.
Yeah, they're selling like hotcakes. Yeah.
Good for Brian. Brian deserves
it. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
That's his hobby. He's got a printing press out in the garage.
Love it.
What did you go see Phish at the Hollywood Bowl when they were
I did all three nights.
You were there all three.
And in fact, I brought check this out. My fiance Eliza brought her dad, who is a Deadhead, who used to see the Grateful Dead back in the 80s, has never seen Phish. We got great seats right down in front, and two songs in, he turns to me with a big smile on his face, and he said, I get it now.
Oh, nice.
And I was, it was like one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, and you get along with this guy, this future father-in-law.
I do. Great.
Well, yeah,
great
you're
guy.
Both dropping dope together.
Dropping dope. Love it.
Couple of hippies.
Dropping dope.
When is, you throw the word fiance around, when's the big day?
January 10th in Palm Springs, California.
011026.
That's right, buddy.
In Palm Springs. You're going to go out there.
That's
and,
right.
Very
exciting.
Good awesome. For you. Is it going to be a big affair?
Yeah, 250.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
250.
That is big.
Big.
That's yeah. big. Yeah. And it's a destination wedding.
Destination.
So.
The Parker Hotel.
Is that the Parker?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
it. You ever heard of the Parker Hotel?
I'm not familiar with the Parker.
Have
the
you ever
ones.
Been to Palm Springs? It's,
I've been
It's
there.
A classic Palm Springs old school hotel.
Oh, cool.
I have... I've been standing up comedy in Palm Springs, and maybe I did it at the Parker. I used to be a drunk, so I don't remember a lot of things.
Right.
You and I both separately found, was it the Omni? It's actually just past Palm Springs. What's that town that's like just outside?
Is it India?
Palm Desert or?
It might be Palm Desert.
Anyway, it's a resorty type hotel-y place that's got a lazy river.
Oh.
And then for my kids, at least, but when they were young, I was like, well, we don't need to find any other hotel here. Nah. This is the place.
They also, in the summer, give you free golf because it's too hot.
Too hot,
people won't pay money to golf, so you get it free. But if you go there, and by the way, the golf course is fine. It's fine. They got three different nines. It's fine if it's free.
Yeah, right.
But we were there in January once for, like, let's go to the Palm Springs for, and then it was like, oh, I'm going to go golf. And I thought the resort you got it for free.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, how much is it? And it's like, it's $140. Like, for this fucking, no. If I'm paying $140, I'm going to play on a championship course.
Yeah.
I'm also not a good golfer. Let's keep that in mind.
Oh, well, that, yeah, I mean, it would help if you were good.
It wouldn't hurt.
How long have you two been married?
Us two?
You know we're not a couple, right?
Wait a second.
Is that breaking news for you?
The show, I guess 19 years is the answer to that question.
I will tell you this. On this very day, we are recording today on May 22nd.
Yeah.
My wife and I are married 21 years today.
Wow. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Holy shit. Today's your anniversary?
It is, yep.
Are you doing something tonight to celebrate?
You know, I'm going to see Simple Minds by myself. And I think that's a gift to my wife.
Yeah.
Wait, your marriage is of drinking age today.
Yeah.
You should get drunk, even though you don't drink anymore.
Wait,
why are you guys doing something together tonight?
We spend every day together.
Yeah.
You know, she is in the business as well. So she's a comedy writer.
Yeah.
And I do this horseshit. Mm. And so we spend basically every day. Like
21 years together.
Yeah, we're together a lot. And so we...
Did you go out last night, or are you going out Friday night?
We'll figure it out. We'll go out at some point. And our son is going away for... He's graduating high school this year.
Wow.
And he and his friends are going down to San Diego tomorrow. So he's going to be gone for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine that during that...
Got a nice weekend together.
Got a place to yourself.
Yeah. I can't be more clear. 21 years in.
How long have you been married?
27 total, by the way.
I've been married... it'll be 25 years in October.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys recommend it? Getting married?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Great.
I mean, greatest thing ever happened to me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know when you find the right person.
Yeah, right,
and you've,
right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're of an age where you probably in your youth and in comedy bounced around and many relationships, whether a day or a month or a year even.
Yes.
It's when you know, and I'm grateful every day that I found Danielle.
Wow.
It's the greatest.
What about having kids? Recommend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you want them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if that's your thing. I mean,
the last time I saw you was I went to watch my buddy Mike Canale's son go to his soccer game, and you were there.
Yeah,
it looked like a fun life. You're watching your kid kick the ball around.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Cheering. And okay.
I mean, it's not fun when they lose, which... Mike's son has now switched to a different team, so he's not on the same team anymore. But
scandal.
Scandal. It is pretty... It was controversial.
It is crazy how much these parents get into this. Really are like living by each goal, and like
you at a certain point you either need to recognize that and consciously Gwyneth Paltrow call it consciously uncouple the emotions from it, because it's too much if you're like, oh, they gotta, you know, like your instinct is to treat it like a normal sporting event where you're like, hey, I'm a fan of the Lakers and now I'm a fan of these guys, and you're like, that's not a good way to go into it. You have to sort of be like, okay, hey, whatever happens, it's fine, and like, you know, not don't live and die by it, or else you'll go crazy basically, because it's because you're surrounded by that energy a lot of the time. You're surrounded by people who are taken too seriously, and it's easy to get caught up in that.
Well, that's what ruined Little League for my son. It's like all the other parents.
Yeah, right. It seems like
pushing
that.
Their kids, and then the coach favoring the kids because of those parents. Like, my son was just like, I hate this.
It's toxic.
Yeah. It's toxic.
It seems like this is a big part of parenting, because suddenly you're surrounded by other parents all the time, and you could have some crazy MAGA asshole or some super woke asshole, and you have to deal with these people now all the time.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, all the other parents are assholes. it's trying to fit in with them.
Well, that's the thing. That's why, like, Mike and Megan are so great.
They're
like,
so great.
It's, when you find parents that you, like, click with, you're like, oh, this is precious. Because a lot of the times, it just, you have to keep it on that surface small talk level, because if you go any place beyond that, it's like, ooh, wait. We don't necessarily line up on
don't need to know that about you.
I actually just had dinner with them last weekend.
Where do you guys go for dinner?
We went to John and Vinny's. I don't know if you've been.
I've been. It's fantastic.
Nearby, great Italian place.
I don't love it.
Oh, really?
I find it overpriced and
chain.
Average.
It's a chain, right?
I find it overpriced and average.
Spoken like a true Midwestern guy. Well, this is overpriced. And all it doesn't taste like Rosati's.
I would prefer Rosati's.
It is overpriced.
I'm half Italian.
Yeah, it is overpriced. Yeah,
and from Chicago, so it's that's...
It doesn't compare to like a great little like neighborhood place in like a city like Chicago or New York.
Or Hoboken.
Yeah, right.
But like for out here... Like, I like the way they do their pizza, and they've got some, like, that's a place where you end up sharing. They want you to order stuff and just share it. And I'm usually kind of like, can I just have my dinner? But we went with a few people and we were splitting everything, and it was really good. Like, I tried some stuff I wouldn't have eaten. They have like a salad that it was really good. It's like a spicy salad, which is crazy.
Spicy salad.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like something I would be interested
Chipotle
in.
Chipotle lettuce?
I don't know what. I think it was just pepper on it, but I don't know what they did, but it's tasty. Chipotle lettuce.
The fuck?
Listen to this dinner that I'm going to. I'm very excited about this.
Where are you going?
We're going to a place called, it's a pop-up place in West Hollywood, and I'll tell you the name, but what's most exciting is the person we're going with. So we're doing a double date this weekend, and I have befriended this guy named Brad Sands, who was Fish's tour manager for 20 years.
Oh my God.
In the 90s. He's a fan of The Bear, the show that I'm on, and I'm a fan of Fish, and so mutual friends introduced us at the Hollywood Bowl. He lives in Santa Monica. We hit it off right away. Double dating on Saturday, and I'm just going to pepper him with fish questions.
Yeah, you're going to nerd out.
I'm going to nerd out so night. Hard and ruin he and his girlfriend's night. And the place is called a Sal's Place. It's a pop-up in West Hollywood. That's supposed to be really good.
Okay.
Sal's
Place.
That sounds
like it might be Italian also.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll look into that for my wife and I this
week. There you go.
We'll go to Sal's, and we'll sit next to that table and watch that guy hate you. we'll spy well over here.
So in 1997, when Trey was...
you think Trey's as good as everybody else does?
Hey, if you like that stuff, did you go to the Outlaw Music Festival at the Bowl on Friday?
Listen to this story.
Yeah.
Not only did I go, I was I third wheeled it with Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann.
That's crazy, because I was literally sitting next to a guy.
You were there?
Yeah. And my daughter, I took my daughter, and she looked, she was like peeping on this guy's text. Like he was texting, and she looked down, and she was like, that guy just saw Judd Apatow, and she saw that he wrote that to texted somebody that. So we did not see Judd Apatow, but we saw that someone saw him, so that's so crazy that you were there.
Yeah. So Judd and I have become friends over the years because I've been done projects with him and stuff. I had never met Leslie though. So, and he knows that I'm a jam band fan or whatever. So he invited me, he had an extra ticket, invited me. And, he's making a documentary about Billy Strings right now.
Oh, cool.
Now. Yeah. So he was backstage interviewing him and getting footage and stuff. But I sat next to Leslie Mann for most of the concert, and she scared the shit out of me. But I got to say, we hit it off. I made her laugh 5 to 6 times at least.
Nice.
How many misses? How many did you throw out there to get the 5 or 6? So,
Jimmy,
is she recognized?
Much like the name of this podcast, I am never not.
Dude,
funny.
We know that's why you're back so soon.
Soon? I feel like I was here 5 years ago.
I know, it was a while ago. Wait, really? I thought I would have said it was like a year ago. What was it really?
It's probably two.
Two years,
was it two?
I would say.
Jesus Christ!
You guys just are living in this bubble here. You don't know what time doesn't.
True.
Even,
It's true.
Time's a flat thing or whatever that quote is from.
It was October 2023.
Jeez.
Oh, so it is almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. We'll change that.
You guys never leave this room.
No, we're stuck here.
No, this.
You were just here last week, weren't you?
This hot room, this stuffy. Oh, is this thing on, by the way?
I turned it on.
The microphone.
You know what? I thought Dylan sounded great, actually.
I agree with that.
Because I saw him like 15 years ago, and it was awful.
That's what everyone told me. It like, honestly, people like Jimmy always said he's very hit or miss. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to take the chance.
Yeah.
I avoided it. And then I was like, my daughter saw the movie and was like, that made her interested enough to want to go. So we went, and it was like, I played a clip. I did a video of one of the songs and I played it here on Monday. It didn't sound good in the recording. Like if you listen back to it, you're like, yes, that's not great. But in the moment I was like, you know what? This works. It all worked for me.
Same. It's such an unmistakable voice. And it's like, that's fucking Bob Dylan right there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy. That part of it is crazy.
Billy Strings, virtuoso,
incredible.
This kid is unreal. It's like it's insane.
I don't know him. I'm gonna have to do.
He's also very jammy. Like that's why what would made me think of it is like when I was walking to our seats, there was just guys in overalls and funny like felt hats and just all the whole thing.
It's like Appalachia.
Yeah. It's very much like these are the people who are like wish they had been at Woodstock, but they're 30 years too young or whatever.
Yes.
But I was really impressed with his whole band.
And then fucking Willie Nelson. I mean, he looks like the Crypt Keeper, but still he's like cranking these songs out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
His son's good. Yeah.
Was that the guy on the right of him was his son?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. The guy who wrote the song.
Song about if I die when I'm high.
Yeah. Which I thought was
good. Yeah. Our family's doped up.
You know, his latest album is fantastic.
Who?
Willie Nelson.
Gary, really? Talking about current projects right now.
Does he does he sing at all or is it a lot of talking?
It's Willie Nelson. It's him. I thought for sure it was going to get Album of the Year nomination.
Wow.
It got nothing.
Huh.
And it's terrific. Because Bob is 83, I think. How old's Willie?
Oh, we just
did 92.
90 something?
92.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Retire. Just good. You go in your fucking van.
One thing I will say, I also went to this same concert last year.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like the exact same show. His son tells the exact same story before he
about his son has like a stage name, like a band he plays under the name of something. What is it
again? I don't know.
I forgot what it
is.
Yes,
it does.
It's like family. It says Willie Nelson and family.
His son's own work is like Ice Pirates or some
when
shit.
When they played at Farm Aid, it was under that name.
Yeah.
And I do not recall the
Kid Icarus. What is it? Something like that.
anything. Yeah, it's Kid Icarus. I'm on board.
Lucas Nelson, Promise of the Real?
That's it. Promise of the Real.
Mm-mm. That's not what I'm thinking of.
Promise of the Real is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, was it? Farm Aid, okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
And they also, I want to say, played on Conan. I want to say
he won a Grammy for
Willie and a band.
No, his son, the kid. Oh, yeah. Promise of the Real. Because I remember when I announced and Promise of the Real is here. Silence. Nobody gave a shit. And also, this is a fun fact. Imagine Dragons was on Conan once, and I announced Imagine Dragons, and nobody gave a shit. And then it was like a week later, the world went bananas for Imagine Dragons. Wow. It was like this guy Jim Pitt, who now books the music on Jimmy Kimmel. Was on Conan, and then before Conan was at SNL. Mm. So he's like the guy where he books people
right before,
and he hits more than misses.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like, dude, this is, but he throws the darts. And,
you got to take chances.
And he's good at his job.
Of all the years at Conan.
Yes.
Do you have a couple of moments that stand out? It's like, oh, wow, this is fucking cool. Like, whether it's a music act or a guest or something that Conan did, like moments where you think back, like, that was really cool.
Well, there's the time I filled in for Andy. And then there's my time when my first remote I did. Then there was my time where I was the first time I was on panel.
No,
but otherwise, not really.
Obviously, the time you met Pitbull.
I met Pitbull.
Career highlight.
Really? Not really. Like, there's not like,
well, you know what?
Al Pacino or like,
well, the Mel Brooks.
What was that?
It was, there's three times. And one was when Dick Van Dyke was on.
See, that's cool.
And Dick Van Dyke was basically all the writers came down and he was holding court in the green room. And it was just wonderful, just hearing in that, hit that Dick Van Dyke voice.
Yeah.
And he's just talking to
telling
everybody.
Telling stories.
Yeah,
that's great.
And then when everybody walked away, I don't generally do this. I introduced myself and he couldn't have been nicer, and it was great. Mm. And so that one was great. Then Carl Reiner was, I went in to meet Carl Reiner in his dressing room, and he was there with somebody else. And they said, this is Jimmy Pardo. He's the warm up, you know, and, oh, comedian. And then, and I've told this story 1,000 times, but I'll share it again. He said, Carl Reiner said to me, have you ever done a joke where it lays flat, but you keep doing it anyway? And I said, every night, Carl. I go out there, I say, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the show, and then we'll get to know you people and make fun of some hats and glasses. And it never gets a laugh, but I said it every single night. Or maybe you got a laugh the first time.
Yeah.
And then I kept
and
saying
then
you're
chasing the dragon. Yes.
And so I told him that, and he's like, oh, I love it. He goes, hey, do me a favor, try this. He goes, I could never get this to work. He said, do a joke and then say, oy vey, whatever that means. And he goes, I can never get that to work. And in my head, I'm like, because you're not saying anything.
This is not a joke.
You're just saying words. But you're the great Carl Reiner. I don't know what. And so he's like, will you do me a favor? Will you do it tonight? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Sure.
And so I'm out there and I do whatever, you know, maybe hats and glasses. Oy vey, whatever that means. And of course, silence. I didn't
say anything. Crickets.
Yes,
crickets.
And then I come back and I go back to his dressing room, and he goes, "Did you try it?" I said, "Yeah." And he, first of all, they look at him, he's like, "What the fuck? You listen to me?" he said, "You tried it." I did. He goes, "How'd it go?" I go, "Nothing." And he goes, "Yeah, we just can't make that work, can we?" But listen, I'm glad it didn't, because now I got a fucking story.
This is great. Yeah. See, this is what I was looking for.
Right?
This is great.
But what, like? What did, like, obviously he thought there was something funny about
Here's
it.
The thing, when Rob Reiner was here on this show, I should have asked him, hey, your dad once did, what if he went, oh, my dad does that there, he sets up everybody with that shit.
Like if it's just a prank.
Like that's a prank. Like, oh, my dad did that to me at a school talent show. It's like sets you up to fail.
Right.
So if I ever meet Rob Reiner again, I will share that story with him. The other one was Mel Brooks, and I went in to meet Mel, and Mel is just, to this day, he's just funny in the bones.
Yeah.
He just wants to make you laugh.
Yeah, that's great.
And he was wonderful. And then, so I didn't hang out with him. We chit-chatted about comedy, which is like, are you shitting me? I'm talking comedy with one of my heroes?
Pinch me.
And then I left, and then it dawned on me that we have, my father-in-law is, I think he's since passed away, a guy named Lee Delano, who was a character actor who was in a lot of Mel's movies. And I was like, fuck, you didn't bring up Lee Delano. You've got a connection with Mel Brooks. Mm. And so then I did the warm-up, and then I came back. Mel did his segment. And then as Mel was leaving, I said, oh, Mel, I forgot to tell you. We have a family friend in Lee Delano. And he goes, Lee Delano, let me tell you something about Lee Delano. And then he grabbed my arm and wouldn't let me walk away as he's telling me Lee Delano stories. And he goes, you know, I just saw Lee. This is back when Sid Caesar was still alive. He goes, I just saw Lee. We were at Sid's. Have you been to Sid's yet, Jim? I go, no, I'm not going to Sid Caesar's house.
And yeah, I was just there last weekend.
He goes, you know, Sid. He goes, you know, Sid's not doing well, but you know, I saw Lee there. We're all rallying around Sid, and then he told a great Sid Caesar story.
Wow.
And then he told the Lee Delano story, and he told the great story about how, and Lee Delano told me this story, so I got to hear it from both Lee Delano and Mel Brooks, where they're on the Paramount lot, I believe it's Paramount, and Mel was there doing something, and Lee was doing an episode of Charlie's Angels, and Lee. They run into each other on the lot, and Mel goes, what are you doing here? And he goes, I'm playing a heavy on Charlie's Angels. He's like, where are you at? He goes, stage 14 or whatever. He goes, great to see you, pal, blah, blah, blah. And then about an hour later, the doors open to stage 14, and it's Mel Brooks yelling, where's that son of a bitch, Lee Delano? And he ruins the take, but everybody's pissed off until they see it's Mel Brooks, and they all fucking love it. So he tells that story, and then I tell a Lee Delano bringing my son to the Magic Castle story. So we're talking. So it worked out. Me bringing up Lee Delano worked. And then when he leaves the green room, he's saying goodbye to everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then he, as he's walking out the door, he just goes, Pardo! And everybody runs over like, why did he just yell your name? I go, because he's doing shtick.
Come on. That's great.
Right. So there's those are the three. And then I teared up when I met Carol Burnett.
Oh, that's good.
That one made me tear up just because of everything she's done.
Yeah.
And then I guess that's it. Those are the four biggies that just so I it took me a minute to get there, but those are the ones.
It sounds like the story It sounds like a Seinfeld episode where Jerry's like, "You forgot to mention Lee Delano," and then George goes, "Lee Delano, I forgot to mention Lee Delano. Wait, Mel, Lee Delano."
Perfect. It is such a name that you would hear on Seinfeld.
Yes. So you forgot to mention Lee Delano.
Fun fact: before Lee Delano passed away, he changed it to Lee Delano.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. What are you doing?
At the end of his life?
At the end of his life.
Lee.
Yeah, my father-in-law is like, yeah, I saw Lee. Changed it to, we now say Delano. Like, what? Why? He's 90 years old.
It's empirically worse. No one was going to agree that that's a better way to
pronounce
it.
That's what's been holding me back.
Lee Delano. Lee Delano. Listen to that.
Perfect. Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's like beautiful. You said,
it's Seinfeldian.
It is. Lee Delano.
Lee Delano.
Oh, and then Kramer goes, oh, you got to mention Lee Delano.
You do the whole cast. No, do Elaine.
Elaine, she pushes. You didn't mention Lee Delano.
Chris, if I may, you got to do a Seinfeld one-man show.
I really could. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you got to mention Lee Delano. I play golf with Lee Delano.
Barbie.
Have you ever heard the Bill Murray story where, because this reminded me, have you ever heard that Tim Robbins was directing a movie that Bill Murray was in? And so Tim Robbins yells action, and an extra goes, wait, I'm sorry, cut, I wasn't ready. And Tim Robbins like flips a gasket, like, I am the director of this, screaming at a background actor. I am the only person who yells cut on this fucking film set. You are out of here. Da, 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 da. And it's this whole blow up apparently in the whole, like everybody, it's just like, holy shit. And then they go back to it and settle. And he goes, all right. And action. And then Bill Murray goes, and cut.
Son of a bitch.
How did Tim take?
I wasn't there, but I heard, yeah.
You have to.
And cut.
Bill Murray. He's got a restaurant now in
Murray's?
Rosemont.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Caddyshack.
Yeah, Caddyshack.
Oh.
I've been there. The brothers, yeah.
That's right. We went there.
We walked through it.
Oh, right.
We did not eat there. We walked through.
Was it closed? We were looking for somebody to eat, and they weren't serving food anymore.
No, we were in our rooms, and then we had to walk to Zany's, and you have to walk through the restaurant to get to that part of the.
Yeah, that's right. It's connected to that over there. Here are my thoughts on background actors.
Mm. Oh, you got okay.
First of all, did you ever do it?
Never have done it. Never did. One of my biggest pet peeves is actors who are mean to background actors, to extras, because some people literally treat these background actors like they're fucking cattle, like they're livestock, like treat them like shit. And I hate it. Yeah. I hate it to my very core because I've seen it. But then
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Jamie. But then I will say some of these background actors, I just did a little part on Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Two lines. I play a guy who works at the golf course. But some of these background actors are very thirsty. And there were a couple who if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah.
And I started chatting with one guy, and then before you know it, he's like trying. He's like, "You think I could like stand closer to you?" And
oh,
like,
no.
Yeah. And so it taught me a lesson that you got to set boundaries with background actors sometimes.
Also, that's not your call, right? Like, you're
no,
like,
of course
oh, yeah,
not.
Sure, come on over.
Yeah, yeah, reasonable. Take one of my lines. Yeah.
Wow.
You do get the vibe of like people who kind of just do that, and that's their thing.
Totally.
They're like, there's a little.
Yeah. Like, they're scheming how they could maybe get stand closer to the person.
It's like the Angeline or like the Dennis Woodruff. I don't know if you were here during the Dennis Woodruff era of Los Angeles.
Is Angeline the pink Corvette?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I know her.
So Dennis Woodruff was a guy who decorated his entire car to be an advertisement for his acting career. And it would, it'd have his headshot and all his paint. It would just say Dennis Woodruff, like huge across the side.
House paint.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was house paint on a car.
Yeah, it looked insane, like a crazy art car, but like bad.
Yeah.
And it was like, Dennis Woodruff, working actor, call. You know, it's like, I don't think the guy ever, as far as I know, never
would you hire him?
Booked a job. Yeah.
No, you don't hire that guy.
There's clearly something going on here.
Right. Yeah. And so that I feel like there's always the risk that someone who's doing the background stuff is like a little like that.
Totally.
Like, you don't know.
When I, back in Chicago, I did background work on Light of Day, the Michael J. Fox, Joan Jett movie.
Okay.
and there's a scene where the guys are leaving a nightclub. Michael J. Fox is entering the nightclub to look for his sister. And there's a scene where people are walking out. And one guy asked the second AD, hey, what band do we just see so we could talk about that? And the second AD went, hey, they're asking what band they just saw so they could talk about it. And the guy goes, what does it matter? And then and that guy that asked was me.
I didn't know. I get it. You're on set. It's exciting. You know, you're on a movie set. You're thinking, hey, how can I maybe get a line in there or whatever? But yeah. But it was a lesson in, I think sometimes I'm too Midwest nice. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't set firm boundaries sometimes. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, I got a background actor glomming onto me.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So, a good lesson in boundaries.
Yeah.
Or maybe that guy's going to be your best friend now. Yeah. You don't know. Maybe he's really cool.
We've kept in touch.
You should.
Yeah.
Bring him to see Fish next time. You know what? Bring him to this dinner this weekend.
Yeah. He looks Italian.
Smart.
Have this guy feel it.
And this is my background actor friend?
He's going to sit at the next table and just chit-chat quietly. He's going to say peas and carrots 50,000 times.
We talked about it on this show. I saw your co-star. I saw Jamie Lee Curtis at the movie theater recently.
Oh, interesting.
She was taking a photograph of her in front of the Freaky Friday poster.
Uh-huh.
And it was jarring. When I walked into the Century City AMC, and it's like, I think that woman taking a selfie is Jamie Lee Curtis. And it was her.
Wow.
And I did not have a chance to bring you up. I said nothing to her.
I'm sorry, Chris who?
She would know.
No, she would know. Yeah, yeah. No. She likes me. We've become buds.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you in? Are you in that photograph of the entire cast of The Bear at Vito and Nick's? The pizza place?
No, I don't get those invites. Because it was in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I only come in for a couple weeks at a time and film all my shit, and then I leave. They're there all the time.
I see.
You know? So, yeah, I'm not a series reg.
Yeah, but you're there enough that you're...
Yeah, but no, I wasn't in that photo.
That photo was, I guess, everybody but you.
Great, that's great. It makes me feel good.
Well, to your point, you probably were not there that...
Actually, the background actor from Happy Gilmore 2 was there.
Oh, fuck, that guy was there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know what you mean. He's way too close to Abby Elliott. I almost said Abby Phillips from CNN. I almost said the wrong name, Garen. Vito Nix is my favorite pizza place in Chicago.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Yeah.
I like that place.
Love it.
Yeah. Mine is Paisanos. Paisanos. It's a corn crust.
Yes, I'm listening.
There's multiple locations. It's also Oprah's favorite, so I'm in good company.
No, I don't think you are. She also recommended Dr. Oz, so we don't really trust her opinion. That's a good point.
Oh, no, we got red flags on this pizza.
Paisanos. I've never had it.
Oh, buddy. It's like this corn crust, and they have fantastic deep dish, but my favorite is the tavern style.
I don't like deep dish pizza.
You don't at all?
No.
So we'll never even have it?
If that's all they have.
Interesting. For me, I don't hate it. I'll have it once or twice a year if I'm there. But some people like really dislike it.
I'm not as I've said, that's tourist pizza.
Yeah,
that
right. It's like a casserole. It's like not even a pizza.
Yeah, it's a pie. It's literally a pie.
Yeah.
No, I'm a thin crust guy, which we now, to your point, we call tavern style.
Right, square cut.
Which we never called it that in the...
No, never heard it.
28 years that I lived there.
But it's a good name for it because I know what it means when I hear it.
Yes,
like when I was a kid, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, but we would go to this place that was basically a bar,
right?
But they had pizza and tables,
right?
That's what I think of when I hear that. I'm like, yes, that is
cooked
what
in
I
some
know.
Little rinky dinky
yeah,
oven.
Who the hell knows? Yeah. But I liked it. It was only a game in town, honestly. So I had to like it.
Who doesn't like pizza? Some people, I gotta imagine.
I guess some
like
people,
it.
Yeah.
Garen, I'm gonna do this before I go around the horn because actually Chris goes first with the movie game. Will you run and grab me a Diet Moxie?
You're going back to the Diet Moxie?
Well, because I need something cold, and this is not.
This episode brought to you by Diet Moxie.
Have you ever had a Moxie?
No.
Moxie is a.
Never even heard of it.
Do you want one?
Sure.
Yeah, Moxie. Have a couple of Diet Moxies.
Orange Whip. Three Orange Whips.
With my beverage, Garen, could you go and bring me one? Daddy needs a new drink, so move that ass or he'll clean house.
Oh, there's a song about when you get a drink.
There's way too many.
Multiple.
Thank you, Garen. Now, do we remember what country these are from?
Look at this.
I think this is not a. This is American. It's just from a different region.
It was the Iron Bread brand.
Yeah, there's iron in this.
No, that's
the other one.
That's the other one.
Oh, that's the other one.
That was from Scotland.
Oh, this is from like
Boston.
This
or
is from the Midwest.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's from the New
Northeast.
Yeah.
No shit. Never heard of it.
This is the diet.
Distinctively different.
You're not going to like it.
Okay. It's distinctively bad.
Yeah, who brought it? Somebody.
No, a fan. Somebody brought it.
Somebody brought one.
Right.
Who brought the one?
And then somebody shipped
was it,
these.
Was it not Barry?
Wow.
No. The fellow who's the writer on maybe Kimmel?
Oh.
Oh, it's Brian Cook.
Brian there Cook. That's who it was.
How the hell do you even describe? Is it like Dr. Pepper, kind of? Is it like...
Not as good as Dr. Pepper's got some decent flavor to it.
Yeah, what is going on with this? It tastes like medicine.
It's medicinal, yeah.
It's good for you.
That's it. I don't dislike it.
Yeah, I don't dislike it either.
Yeah, it's one. You were saying, like, last time you had it, you were like, this is terrible, but then you ended up finishing it, I think, and you came around on
it. I'll tell you this, icy cold, it's not bad. We didn't have it icy cold when we did the sample.
That's that old Catskills thing. The food here is awful in such small portions.
Right.
All right, let's do this. We have to, oh, it's time for this.
It's the letter game, starting with the letter.
The letter game. Garrett sucks. All right, Elliot's got the con. Everything yes. Okay, Elliot? You've been shuffling in and out.
It's 80 degrees in here, and I thought maybe I could do the little thing that we talked about, and I can't. So, and our landlord is also not here, and so we're just going
to
suffer.
Hoping to turn the
yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, okay, but nothing's going bad at the familiar.
No.
All right, well, listen, you've got the con. We'll circle back to you last, but Chris goes first. Trying to think of a horror or sci-fi movie that begins with the letter M. If we match Elliot Horbury, $5 plus the con.
Yeah.
Chris, what are you thinking?
Can I just fire away?
Fire away.
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks. Yeah.
That's a good one. I think that's the first thing
I thought.
Is that
a Tim Burton film?
I mean, was there an original that it was based on, like an old 50s one maybe?
I would imagine.
But yeah, the 90s one with a cast of...
So when do I find out if I'm right?
At the end.
Everybody gets their chance.
Oh, I see.
Chris?
I thought you would say yes or no.
No, that's not how it works. We milk it.
I don't know.
We milk it here, Chris.
Okay, yeah, I milk it.
As a reminder, 19 years.
You guys have learned how to stretch
it out.
Stretch it.
Yeah, I wasn't even thirsty. Just give us a little some business.
Well, I have more questions for you, Jimmy, but okay, keep going.
What do you got a question about?
Were there any nightmare guests on Conan? Like, do you have like a Steven Seagal story?
Nightmare guests.
Or like somebody's like, oh God, this guy. Piece of work.
Any that you can tell. There's probably a few that you can't
tell. Yeah. You can tell the Sarah Palin story.
There's too. NDAs.
There was a Sarah Palin back at the Tonight Show where NBC called and said, hey, Sarah Palin's going to be on. And Conan did not. It was like, no fucking way.
Oh,
no fucking way. The next day, Sarah Palin was on. He agreed to have her come on, but she wouldn't be a guest. So Shatner had been doing a thing where he would read from her book in that over-the-top William Shatner, you know, that unique delivery he has. And he would read from her book while a guy played stand-up bass, another guy played bongos, yeah, like a beatnik style. And so, and it was a recurring bit that Todd Levin had put together. And then this particular one was, and Shatner was not in on this. The curtain opens and Sarah Palin walks out.
Okay.
And to surprise him. And even in liberal Hollywood, the audience went fucking nuts.
They did, because she had just been so much in the zeitgeist.
And this was still like, during the campaign. She might be president one day. No, they'd already lost.
Oh, okay.
So she came out, the audience went crazy, and Shatner, you know, I assumed, thought I should murder her. Oh, wait, I'm not married to her. I won't do that. And then they did the showbiz hug horseshit.
Yeah.
And then we went to commercial, and then Sarah Palin and her entourage, she was there with a lot of people, came into the green room, and everybody started taking photographs with her, and it made me furious. Like, why are people taking photographs with her? She's a fucking dunce and this pageant queen. Like, why are we doing this horseshit? She's out of her skull. And then everybody's taking photographs with her. And then it finally was down to nobody else was, like, hanging out. And Josh Comers, a writer, and Todd Levin came down. Todd Living came down with a camera. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to take a picture of Sarah Palin to make it our Christmas card. You know, ironically. It's like, she doesn't know what's ironic. Well, she just takes another person taking a picture, right. You dickhead. Right. And it was infuriating me. And then I went, I got to get my picture taken. And right before, so she took a picture with probably 25 people. People went out and got her book, like in the and had her autograph the book. And right, so it's Todd Levin. She says to Todd, "Who are you?" "Oh, I'm Todd Levin. I'm the guy that came up with the idea to have Shatner read from your book." "Oh, so funny!" Blah 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 blah. And by the way, it's all 100% true. She then one of her bodyguards go, and it's just me and Josh Comer's left. And she said, and her bodyguard goes, "That's it, no more pictures." And I say, "There's only two of us left." I'm now fighting to get a photograph. Minutes ago, the concept nauseated me. Now that I'm being told no, I'm mad about it. And then she goes, "It's okay, one more." So now I have a photograph of me, Sarah Palin, and Josh Comer's. to which I say, now I can't even jerk off to the photo because I got Josh Comer's in there.
But you're jerking off to yourself.
Yes, it's a double glug. It's right. Me and Sarah Palin. By the way, back before Sarah Palin ended up looking like Madam from Wayland Flowers and Madam, she still was very attractive before she had all this work done that she
does. Oh, Major MILF.
Horrific.
Yeah.
So she then says, "Who are you?" to Josh. And Josh said, and again, remember this, I hate her. Mm. She says to Josh, "Who are you? I'm another one of the writers." "Oh, fantastic. Thanks for having me. And who are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm Jimmy Pardo. I'm the warm-up comedian." She goes, "Oh, my God, we watched your whole set. You're hysterical." What did I say back to her? "Thank you so much. I voted for you." That was my response to her. In a panic.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
not even
God.
Just like, "I'm a fan."
Oh, my God.
"I voted for you."
"I voted for you." "Oh, thank you." "Oh, my God. You jackass."
You took it a little too far there, Jimmy.
"Oh, you buffoon."
And another thing about these gays in the military.
I'm on board with you.
That's great.
There's a couple of guests that I will not out on the program. That
wow, and did you sign an NDA?
Hasn't
the statute of limitations run out?
When I tell you off the air, you'll hear. Okay. You'll get why.
Okay,
there was one where a guy went a little too far, and there's actually three. The guy went a little too far. And the after show meeting was really uncomfortable. Mm. And then the other one, the guy just was a dud. Mm. And then the other one was the guy just was too obnoxious. Mm. And I will share all that with you.
I can't wait
afterwards.
All right, that's it for today's pod.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear.
They'll bum me out. Two of them will bum me out.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, one you'll
like,
go.
Like potential heroes that, okay.
Maybe.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Final question here, real quick.
Yes.
How long did you do that job?
8 years?
Yeah, okay. So going to work every day, were you like, holy shit, I'm working in show business, this is awesome?
Yes.
Or was it like, did it get to the point where it was like any other job where you're like, ugh,
I
got to drive to...
I got to work with the funniest people in the world. I got to work with Conan O'Brien and Andy and again, Todd Levin and Josh Comer's and Laurie Kilmartin and all the writers, Brian Kiley and everybody over there. I loved the crew. I loved everybody. It never felt like going to work. I will say this, at my last year there, my Chicago accent popped up.
Yeah.
The audience changed from Conan fans to just people that are on vacation that want to see a taping of something.
In New York?
No, here.
Here, okay, yeah.
And
And
so the audience shifted from being really great audiences that were there for like-minded comedy to just they get to go home with a photograph saying they saw Conan.
Yeah.
And they were not... They didn't dig me that much anymore, and by not digging me, they weren't digging Conan.
Wow, interesting.
And so it was kind of time for me to go, but I wasn't leaving until they made that decision. It's like, why would I do this gig?
Yeah.
And then eventually they were like, I ended up getting a show on Science Channel, hosting my own show, and I had to miss a couple of days, and it was decidedly that the hackier of the warm-up was kind of Gary Cannon, who's a really funny guy, but he's that type of warm-up.
Sure.
And camp counselor. Not. He's a camp counselor.
Yeah.
And the audiences were riled up, and which is what I was not doing. Mm. And it was like, hey, you know what? We're going to let, you know, why don't we relieve you of that? Mm. And they gave me a development deal instead.
Mm.
And so I worked for another 3 years for them, but not going there every day.
In that capacity, yeah, okay.
Which was great. So I ended up being 11 years total.
Yeah, wow.
And working for him, and very, very grateful. Very, very grateful. Sure. But yes, I drove there every day going, this is
exciting.
And then also going, oh, shit, yeah. Today I'm going to say hello to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Today I'm going to say hello, because where I stood just happened to be where the other, where the guests would come in. So I would basically say hello to everybody, wow, just to be friendly.
Wow.
So yes, it was.
That's great.
It was the coolest.
Yeah, that's
and
cool
then I got
gig
to be funny.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get a whole audience sitting there every.
Yes.
That's why when I worked at, I always say the best part of working at Second City, which I did for many years, was there's 300 people sitting there every night waiting to be entertained.
Right. Mm-hmm. They want to be.
Yes.
And that was the difference with the audiences when Conan was that folk hero when he got, you know, yeah, fired from NBC, and the audiences were rabid for Conan and anything Conan. They were all in. That was. Like, you know, I was supposed to do 8 minutes and they eventually had me doing 22 because the audience,
yeah,
just was so,
wow,
into wanting to be entertained. And then it was, then for me, it no longer was.
Mm.
But I loved it. Mm. I would drive there. And
that's good to hear.
You drive on the lot.
Yeah.
And you know, you give, you show your bag. Like all of it. I loved it.
Show business.
Show business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show business with health insurance.
Yes.
And a crazy paycheck.
Yes.
And very grateful.
Yeah.
And good. To our point earlier, they recognized my talents and then had me fill in for Andy, had me do remotes, had me be a guest. And so it wasn't just me pointing out the exits.
Right.
They appreciated what I brought to it.
Yeah.
And very grateful.
That's good to hear.
To the second, very, very grateful,
yeah,
of that. He should get out of podcasting. Get the fuck out of my lane, O'Brien.
There is something about showbiz, though. Just yesterday, my writing partner and I are developing a thing with Apatow right now that, mm-hmm, we're coming up with this idea. But we got our own office on the Universal lot.
Yes.
And we went to it for the first time yesterday. And there is just something about pulling into this fucking lot and,
right,
giving them your ID. And then suddenly you're on the lot and there's people all over the place.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm,
it's show business. It's,
yes,
like it's that feeling.
And you,
like,
have a reason to be there.
Yes.
It's not you with that knot in your stomach of... I'm auditioning for a role,
yes,
on Mike,
right,
and Molly. Am I going to get it?
It's scared, right.
It's like you going to your office.
Totally.
That's a different,
it's cool,
vibe.
It is a different vibe.
Yeah. Good for you.
It's cool.
Yeah. I assume there's people leading llamas across
that's
the
street. That's all it is. That's all
like
it is.
Showgirl. A Vegas showgirl with a headdress. Like, that's what you always, you have to see those things. If you're
a bunch of soldiers.
Yeah. One day,
maybe a Klingon, even though that's not where Star Trek happens.
One of my favorite things in my 10 years in LA was I had a commercial audition one day at that fucking cattle call place, 200 South La Brea, which is like, mm-hmm, where they,
yes,
have all these commercial auditions. Mm-hmm. But I walked in and it just happened that day, there are all these different rooms that are auditioning different things. And one of them was a bunch of like Vegas showgirls. So there's all these women dressed as Vegas showgirls. Then another room was like little people like auditioning for something. And then over here was guys with unicycles.
Oh my God.
Wow. You lived the cliche.
It was that.
The ultimate.
It's truly, yeah. Like,
unbelievable.
This is show business.
I made it.
We did, in my early days when I auditioned for commercials, it was, you know, me and Bill Dwyer and Greg Proops and a bunch of other comedians, but it was to be in a humorous commercial, but we were astronauts.
Yeah.
But we just showed up because, you know, there's no lab coat. There's no, you know, accoutrement. Not that I ever put on a lab coat because I would put a gun in my mouth before I would do that. But, and Greg Proops goes, what if some asshole shows up in a whole astronaut garb and a guy walks in wearing the suit, carrying the helmet? Like, and we just laughed in this guy's face. He didn't know why, but
yeah,
just like, dude.
Which is the funniest part about the studio, the TV show, The Studio.
Yeah. Like, they have,
yes,
that shit going on in the background.
Yes. Right.
Just that,
yes,
cliched.
Yes, mm-hmm, the llama and the fucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you a good Paul Lynn story. So,
wait, Paul Lynn from
Hollywood Squares.
Bewitched
Paul
Hollywood
Lynn. Yeah. So, well, I heard Bruce Valanche tell this story.
Okay.
So Paul Lynn was doing Hollywood Squares and it was like costume week. So he's dressed up like a witch, like full green makeup and, you know, witch hat and the whole thing with the broom. And so he goes outside to smoke a cigarette, and this is on one of the lots. And who's the guy who played Kunta Kinte in
LeVar
Roots?
Burton.
LeVar Burton.
Oh, yeah.
is apparently walking, you know, down a path. And Paul Lynn is outside smoking a cigarette, dressed like a witch. And he sees LeVar Burton. And this is when Roots was huge. But he sees him and clocks him, but can't remember his name. And so apparently, as he's walking by, Paul Lynn just goes, Roots! Dressed like a witch. Roots. Cigarette.
Phenomenal.
So funny.
Imagine if you had witnessed that from a third person perspective. Just seeing that all happen would have been mind blowing.
Love it.
Roots.
Bruce Valens, by the way, welcome on this show anytime.
Oh, so funny.
Welcome on the show anytime. Lives in Palm Springs for the most part.
Does he really? Yeah.
He's going to your wedding?
Yeah. Oh, he's officiating.
Oh, nice.
Now you got two.
Who's your guys' favorite guest you've had? I saw you guys had Richard Lewis here.
Richard Lewis is my comedy hero.
Wow.
He's my hero.
Dude.
And he's the reason I did comedy. And so to have him on this show
was a big deal. I bet.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
He came here.
He came to our old studio.
Okay. Yeah,
it was wonderful.
What a cool guy.
Yes.
All the fucking best guys are dead now. It's crazy. I was just thinking about this. Like Regis Philbin. I used to love Regis.
Right.
He's gone. Fred Willard's one of my heroes. He's gone.
Fred's been on this program.
Has he?
Yeah.
Man, these guys are just dropping like flies. All these great.
Yeah.
They are. It's getting to the point where.
George Wendt just died. Yeah.
Yep.
George Wendt from the television show Cheers, Garrett.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Did you see that?
They call him Norm.
They do call him Norm.
They all do. They all yell it.
They yell it at him.
He's there that often.
That's what happened when he got to the pearly gates, I assume.
That's right. Welcome.
All the angels went, Norm!
Atlantic cartoon?
Gave him a beer. Your stool's at the end of the bar.
Yeah. Apparently, Kimmel mentioned this last night. Apparently, Fox and Friends... I don't know how Jimmy got a hold of this email. Someone must have known someone and sent it to him because they knew he would like it and maybe and air it, which he did. He got an email. It was Fox and Friends reaching out to Kirstie Alley's people to see if she wanted to come on the Fox and Friends show to talk about her friend George Wendt. Kirstie Alley died 3 years ago. They did not know that, apparently.
How do you not do a Google on that?
Yeah.
How did you miss that Kirstie Alley died? That was
she died at the tail of COVID.
It might have been COVID related.
Right, kind of got
right.
Also, does she still have people?
Well, yeah. I guess they looked up whoever her people had been.
He still
the webmaster of KirstieAlley.com.
Wow.
My sister has a story like this. My sister worked for Naomi Odenkirk, who's my manager for many years, was like answering the phones at the. And this, do you remember guys, Jim Zulevic, old school Chicago guy, Second City, but he passed away, I think heart attack or something. And then like 4 years after the phone call, he was with Naomi and he says, we've got a job for Jim Zulevic. And my sister had to be like, I'm sorry to tell you, but he died 4 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for your time.
That's right.
Click. Is your sister still living out here?
Yes, she is. Yeah. Working in the music biz now.
She's in the music business.
Yeah. Who else were your favorite guests? So Richard Lewis was a cool one.
Our favorite guest on this program.
You've had some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
We have had some. Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner was awesome.
How'd you get Reiner? How'd you book Rob Reiner?
I wrote, and this is before Conan O'Brien and Joe, like before before podcasts were a stop on the PR train.
Sure.
I reached out to his publicist and it was unique enough that his publicist thought, oh, that'll be interesting for Rob to go do a podcast.
Wow.
And he came here and he was promoting a movie that he was directing and he started. He replaced Alec Baldwin in the movie. I liked the movie. I forget what the movie was called. But that's how. I just kept on saying, we'd love to have Rob Reiner. We'd love to have Rob Reiner. And then eventually she's like, hey, Rob wants to do it on this. Yes.
Wow.
But yes. Could he start a half hour later? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
can he smoke in the studio? Absolutely.
No. Paul Reiser's been here a number of times.
Oh, yeah. He seems like a cool guy.
Great guy. So he was another one of my heroes when I started. Mm. So those,
I'll say, like from my perspective, the first time Conan was on was
a
real thrill.
Yeah,
like that was
great.
Pretty exciting. And like, you know, there was a, I feel like it probably happened not that long before or after. Like I remember we had like Richard Lewis, Paul Reiser, Conan, John Hamm, like all within like a month or
it
two.
It all was within this
and
weird.
It was just a crazy. It was like, what is happening? Like we are.
Wow.
And the numbers did not reflect anyone else's about it, but we were excited.
We were. And then in the pandemic, we had, before the pandemic, we had Ace Frehley of Kiss.
Wow.
Which is, you know, young Jimmy was
back in the New York groove.
Yeah, that's right.
Great
he sang
song.
It did from a seat.
For real?
Yes. And it was a 1 out of 10.
He changed it. He changed it to back in the LA groove for us.
Oh, cool. Back in the Studio City groove.
And it sounded horrible.
Wow.
And then during the pandemic, we had Kevin Cronin of R.A.S. B-Wagon and Tommy Shaw of Styx. Tommy had done Parcastathon once and... REO and Styx are in my top five favorite bands.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Pankow of Chicago, the band Chicago.
Yeah, of course.
So we had them on. So those are the ones for me. Like, I got to have my people that were on my wall growing up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Were then on my show. Wow. And that's the coolest to me.
It was Ace Frehley cool? Is he still like...
You know what? He was.
Yeah,
okay. He's not now. Yeah. He's gone MAGA nut job.
Yeah.
But he was out of his mind.
Yeah.
He would... I would ask him a question, and sometimes he would answer with clarity of like he just was still in the studio and just recorded Dressed to Kill.
Yeah.
And then other times I would go, hey, Ace, so when you this, and he goes, you like magic?
Yeah, and he like, did that thing with the piece of paper.
He tried to do a magic trick for us that made no sense.
Yeah, crazy. And eventually I think we figured out what he was trying to do, but...
Yeah, it was just confusing.
we were very reverential to him.
Sure.
Even though, I mean, because I mean, at the end of the day, he's one of the most iconic rock stars of all time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But he also was like nuts.
Of course.
And it's like, we're feeding into that.
How was he not? I mean, life and that amount of part... Was he a part of your drugs? Or
Heavy drugs. Heavy. Yeah, yeah. He also was in a car accident that fucked up his brain.
See, there you go.
Okay. So that's where that... What do you think of magic? I'm like, okay, Ace, I guess we're going to watch you do a magic trick instead of you talking about rock and roll over. Okay.
Some of those guys, man. Have you seen David Lee Roth recently? Oh, baby.
It is.
Lost in the Funhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he announced he was hanging up the shoes. Remember when he announced that when he was retiring?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, it's time. I'm hanging up the shoes. That's not an expression. Nobody's ever said that. And then he
tells you where
back,
he's at.
With, like, he's back with leather pants on, and you can see his dick, the outline of his dick in the leather. Good for him.
Good for you. I'm like, you got it. Outline it.
Sure.
Right? Like fucking Ham. When Ham was on SNL recently, when he comes out in the beginning for his monologue, there's those photographs and rumors.
The Hamaconda.
Yes.
Hambone.
You see it coming right at you.
Really?
He comes down those steps.
Good for him.
Holy shit, that thing's leading the way.
He's excited to be there.
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Ham's dick enters the room, and then he comes in 20 minutes later.
Hi, I'm John. I'm sure you met my friend.
Hambone.
He's a good man. But those are the...
I feel like we're probably forgetting a couple. But,
sure, but those are that's
yeah,
a great
that's
list.
What stands out. I mean, it's funny because, like, John's become a friend, but at the time it was just like you knew him a little bit. We knew him from the UCB a little bit, but it was like still Mad Men was a year or two in, and it was just like crazy.
Yeah,
like, this show that we all loved, and then he just seemed very comfortable and like a friend. Like, it wasn't like
He fit in wonderfully.
Seems like a cool dude.
He's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's a good man. We wish him a lot of luck because we do all the successful Astros. His new show is great. We enjoy it very much.
Oh, I haven't started yet.
Friends and Neighbors.
Yeah, I started it. I've got to.
It's
go
a slow.
Back
it's a slow burn.
Okay.
Yeah. The first two, I could see you going, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
This
is not. And then it
stick with it.
But I love the premise too, and you could tell even at the end of the first one, it's like getting into it. I'm like, yes, this is what I want. This is what I signed up for. It's a guy robbing rich people.
Mm-hmm. Paula Poundstone's become a friend because of this show.
That's another one who was like, I loved.
Haven't
as a
heard
kid.
That name in years. Yeah. Wow.
That's everybody. I mean, when you say, but then we've also had people that are just like yourself, working actors, working musicians, working comedians who are great.
Yeah, sure.
And we love having them on.
Yeah. They're a good talk show guest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not A-listers, but you know.
But they come in here and they're hysterical.
They bring the heat.
We're grateful to have them. And
they bring the heat.
Yeah. That is.
I mean, I'm not fucking Ace Frehley, but.
Well, I am fucking him on a regular basis. And,
no, I'm not fucking him. I'm not.
I'm back in that backdoor groove. You know what I mean? Come on, back in the backdoor groove, Jared.
Gene Simmons was not ever drugs or alcohol, right? He was just
totally sober.
He's just like money,
and
right?
Doesn't shut up about it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He's fucking. He claims 10,000 women. Betted?
I think he's
he's like
guys.
Ric Flair numbers. Right. He's like
Will Chamberlain
numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how could you not be? You're a rock star in 19 from 75 to 85. They're huge. And how do you not?
Yeah, but Jimmy, there's only 365 days in a year.
Right.
This guy's having orgies.
So what? Oh, it's orgies?
There's orgies. Yes, the demon.
Is he really counting? Like, that's the part that I think is weird. Is like, if you're tabulating it on
these guys are padding their numbers. They're padding.
So. I think so.
Will Chamberlain maybe is the only one telling the truth.
You think so? You don't think Gene? I mean, Gene likes to exaggerate.
Well, but 10,000 is insane.
But someone did the math on Wilt Chamberlain, and it was like the math was crazy. He had to like fuck like four women a day.
Yeah,
for like
that's what I'm saying.
Most of his adult life.
What does Ric Flair claim? Do we got to Google?
I didn't know Ric Flair.
I've never heard this about Ric Flair.
Ric Flair claims big numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo, yeah. He claims Simmons numbers?
He claims, yes. He claims they, to be in the same, you
What's
know,
funny about that is, like, he's...
Echelon.
He's not a rock star. He's a wrestler. So it's, like, a different game for him, you know?
And
like,
he was fucking Waffle House waitresses right, all over the it. South. Okay, and, oh, yeah.
That's it.
He's these guys are quantity over quantity, but...
Wait, what? I think you just said quantity over quantity.
He's all
Did you mean Quantico? I think we're talking about Quantico.
Who else? Are we forgetting someone who claims big, high numbers like this? Body count numbers?
I think Ben Shapiro.
There's probably another rock star. I mean,
here's a question for you. Okay.
Yes. I like this guy with a question.
Yeah.
So
I turned
can't
the
wait
tables.
To tell you my M movie. So
we were talking recently about how Taylor Swift is in this new echelon of fame.
Oh, she's in the 10,000s.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know about the female rock star. Like, what did Ann Wilson do in her prime?
Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Janis banged around.
Okay. But she died. Was she 33 died?
I think 27.
27. She's in the 27
I think she's
club.
She's in that club, isn't yeah. she?
Think so.
33 is Chris Farley in was Belushi 33?
Jesus.
That's right, and Jesus. Whatever happened to him?
No. He's coming back.
He's coming back. So he says.
So what's your thing about Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Who else would you say has cracked that level of fame?
Well, I got to say, it goes back to the crazy number of emails that we've received this week because she has her own Oreo flavor coming up, and Selena Gomez has somehow made that.
You know, I don't think she's in the Taylor Swift.
She's pretty big. She's got her own Oreo flavor.
Well, okay, but I'm talking like Michael Jackson,
Elvis,
the Beatles,
Michael Jordan, the Rolling Stones.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Maybe like Pope John Paul II.
Sure.
Just as far as numbers go.
Agreed.
So then Madonna, if you're going to go that far.
Madonna.
Is Lady Gaga there?
Gaga's getting up there. Beyonce.
They try to blow her up with a bomb. So, sure.
Beyonce. What's that?
They try to blow her up with a bomb. So, yeah, I would say
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that story.
There was, like in the last week or week and a half, there was a thwarted bomb threat.
Oh, my God.
There was like a public park concert that she was doing.
Really?
They didn't tell her.
They didn't
Wait,
tell
what?
Her. They didn't tell her it was happening.
Well, I think that's
until
a smart
after,
thing to do.
Like, when that was happening at Taylor Swift concert, she canceled that shit.
Yeah.
They were like, we're not telling Lady Gaga what's going on. We're going to get these guys when they try to do it.
Wow.
That's risky.
Which seems very dangerous to me.
Maybe they're not fans. Let's not take that off.
Don't enjoy the new album.
Okay. The AI here on my phone is telling me WWE Hall of Famer Ric Flair has claimed to have slept with over 10,000 women.
Mm-hmm. 10,000. Wow. Is that what you got as well, Garen?
Yeah. Gene Simmons says 5,000.
Oh, what is Will Chamberlain?
That seems believable.
What is Will Chamberlain
is like 17,000 or some crazy. It's a very specific number.
Well, he scored 100 points in one game.
Yeah, he did do that.
Maybe he confused that.
Maybe.
Well, these are big numbers. Congratulations if that's your yeah, I know, it's quantity over quantity. that's what we've learned today, guys.
Yeah. Will says 20K.
20K.
20,000.
So how do we who's good at math?
Yeah, how old was he when he died? Let's and also that was
and
in
by the way, he said 20,000 when he was still 35 years old.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wrote a book and it was in the book. So like, when did that book come out? How old was he when he published the book? And then you figure out.
Okay, so 365 days in a year times.
Let's say
when were his 60s. prime fucking years?
Well, I mean,
50
from 20 to 50.
Let's even so say that's from 30. 18.
So that's
let's
30 years.
18 to let's give him okay. Benefit of the doubt. Let's say 18 to 58 even.
And so how much is that?
It's 40
it's about,
years.
It's about it's one or two a day.
So 365 times 40 equals 14,000. So
so that's
betting
more than one a day.
More than one a day.
More than one a day.
Here's the twist. He died at 63.
Happy birthday.
So
wow.
Yeah.
Wilt the Stilt, they called him.
That's impossible. You're not betting two women every day.
But maybe some days there's five.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
maybe
weird.
Maybe there's or.
He's
again,
getting
there's...
weekend numbers. Boosting it all. He's like, we're 10 to 15 on the weekend.
That's right, Saturday and Sunday.
Then he could take the day off on Monday. It's like a comedy club.
So
like,
here's
dark on Mondays.
Here's the thing that nobody ever talks about
cheat
that.
Day.
Yes?
So if you sleep with four women, that doesn't mean that you have an orgasm with each of those women. So
if he can go for a long time, then maybe his refractory period doesn't count.
That's why I'm throwing the word orgy around a lot.
Sure.
He's in there with 10 women.
He might be counting. He just grabbed her boob.
Oh, he's counting that?
Because she was over here while he was doing this.
Dipping and skipping?
Yeah, he's dipping and skipping, Gary.
This is starting to get unethical.
I think that's where it started.
Again, this is him.
Yeah. You're not saying we're being unethical.
No, he is. Yeah, yes. You can't count grabbing a boob as intercourse.
No, you can't.
He's padding his numbers. He's padding his numbers.
But don't you like that? Well, that's my point. Like, so let's say he's. I assume there were some drugs involved at some point in his life, right? Maybe he was like to party. He was in L.A.
I didn't read the book.
But let's say he's got five women in his giant bed, right?
Right.
And he's just messing around with all of them. He didn't necessarily get in all of them, but they're there.
So he's counting those.
He's counting.
I think he did.
You think he got in all of them?
There's no question. He's dipping and skipping.
You think he's like a little bit OCD about it? He's like, I gotta get in.
I mean, he's got a little notebook.
I got my journal.
Yeah. He clearly was keeping the number.
I have no trouble believing that at least once he had five women in his bedroom.
There's no question.
Yeah. That part is believable.
David Lee Roth probably is in the thousands. I mean, it's just when you're that lifestyle, that's what it is.
Doesn't seem as much fun though if you do it that often.
Who else do you think has a high body count? Like Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, probably up there.
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant.
Oh my God.
There's a documentary I was watching about the 70s in Los Angeles, and Sharon Osbourne is interviewed, but she's talking about Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. And she goes, those guys were so fucking crazy. And she's talking about, like she's married to Ozzy Osbourne. So how crazy was Led Zeppelin?
Exactly. That's scary.
Yeah. They were like putting cigarettes out on girls' arms and stuff. Like,
that's horseshit. That is.
How have none of these, well, P. Diddy now, but every rock star should be getting Me Too'd. How are they not? How are they not?
Some of them even admit to it in books.
Specifically, the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
How is he not
Which
in
one?
Jail?
Anthony Kiedis?
Yeah, he admits in his book that he slept with a 14-year-old.
For real?
And then said...
And when he found
they
out...
did it, he said, how old are you? She said, 14. And then he did it again. And he admits to it in a book. Yeah. How the fuck is he not in jail?
Right? What the fuck?
And then we're going to go on tour, and they sell... I don't get it.
Wow.
I guess it's just because everybody just goes, well, yeah, they're rock stars. What did you expect of them?
But once she tells you the age, you go, holy shit, get out of here.
Yes, you fucking, yeah.
What? Oh, no, what did I do?
You say, flee, start the car.
Yeah, right?
It's time to flee.
It's time to flee.
Look at that, quantity over quantity. Give us your M movie.
All right, back to your game.
I feel like the definitive answer in our culture is The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. How did I not think of that?
That was my answer.
How did I not think of that answer?
And I now need to go to my list now because you took mine.
Sorry.
You know what? I'm going to go with Men in Black.
That's sci-fi.
Men in Black. That's sci-fi. But I've also got some great...
I got to look at what my
some other options here that I could see Elliot saying. Now, let's do this. There we go. Gary, give us your answer.
I'm genuinely shocked this was not picked.
What do you got?
But you've all picked good ones, especially for Elliot. I'm going to go with Misery.
Misery.
That is a good one.
That is a good one.
I was thinking more sci-fi, I guess. I didn't go into that.
I was too, but I thought for sure, like, because he's brought this up many times.
Misery, I think, at the end of the day, while it's labeled horror, I think
I don't consider it horror,
it's more thrill suspense.
I'm not going to like fight anybody about it. Like, it's
once you throw Stephen King's name out of it.
Yeah, if you want to call it horror, that's fine. But I agree. I think it's more of a thriller.
Yeah, Garen's wrong. No, I agree. I also had the movie Magic. Remember the movie Magic with Anthony Hopkins?
Yep.
Tell me that doesn't scare the shit out of me. That fucking doll comes alive at the end. Yeah. Holy fuck. And then I had Misery, and then I had...
The Martian was another big one.
The Mummy?
The Mummy.
Classic The Mummy, and then Megan. Mothra.
Oh, Mothra.
Mothra.
Oh, sure.
And Megan, if you want to go modern day.
There's one called Mandy that was... Did you watch Mandy with Nicolas Cage?
No.
Like, very dark and bloody a couple years ago. Yeah, it's a cult classic.
By the way, my son and I saw Fight or Flight the other day.
Oh,
$6 Tuesdays. And... it's not nearly as fun as it thinks it is. Oliver liked it more than me, which is a rarity. But he, it just kind of got repetitive for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, just a guy getting fighting on a tube for an hour and 40 minutes. Well,
that's bullet train. It's just on a plane this time.
You know what they call it? Bullet plane.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just take our check, please.
I saw Mission Impossible.
Oh, the new one.
I saw your...
Good?
I saw it.
Okay.
It's great filmmaking. Yeah. I don't want to influence anybody's opinion on it, but it...
We're still going to see it. Despite your negative review, we're still going to see it.
Yeah. It's fun. You're going to have fun. You might have fun. I don't. You know, I'm not going to say anything else. Just go. If you like the franchise, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
It's just.
I feel like everyone, by this point, we all know what we're getting with it. Right?
Yeah.
Especially based on the last one, because it's a continuation of that.
Yeah.
Which was a little.
Yeah, that was.
It was a little iffy, but.
But there's always the risk Tom Cruise might show up at the movie theater. So.
That's right.
He's just popping up everywhere.
Buy your popcorn. Yeah.
I thought that might because we went to a screening at the IMAX HQ, and I'm like, and there was chairs off to the side when we got there, and I was like, oh shit, who's going to be here?
And.
Nobody.
Three empty chairs.
Empty chairs.
Couldn't even get Ving Rhames, huh?
Couldn't even get Ving Rhames, though.
All right, well, these are all good guesses. Give us the fans quickly, if you would, Elliot.
Sure. I thought you might say the monkey, Jimmy, because you saw that recently.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
And speaking of Stephen King.
I don't see him
I don't think he even remembers it.
All right, hit it.
There's a new Stephen King movie coming out that I cannot wait for.
What's the name of that?
Life of Chuck.
Life of Chuck. Mm. That's about the lost Cunningham brother?
Yeah. It's going to go deep.
Great.
The secrets of that family.
Sure. What's Marion hiding?
Oh, you can't wait.
Tom Barnsley's mad.
By the way, here, some other guys who claim a high body count.
Yes.
Charlie Sheen claims 5,000. Mm-hmm. Mick Jagger, 4,000.
Jagger's less than Sheen.
Yes. Jack Nicholson, 2,000.
That's a lot.
Hugh Hefner doesn't even have a number, claims thousands.
Sure.
And then Lamar Odom, former NBA, claims 2,000.
I believe the Charlie Sheen thing only because when I was going to karaoke shows that my friend Rob was running over on the pier, there were three very attractive women who were mad at each other because Charlie Sheen had gone to bed with all three of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Again, I know comics that have a crazy
number.
And
Carlos Mencia. Who? Give me names.
I cannot say.
You're an investigative journalist all of a sudden. Just really getting into it.
All right. Give us the fans quickly.
All right. Very good. I'm going 11 because I think one of these might not count. Anyway, Mars Attacks.
Nice. Mars Attacks is what our friend Chris said.
Mm-hmm. Martyrs.
Martyrs.
Don't know it.
Don't know.
The Mist.
Yeah.
M.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Classic.
Ma.
A little on the nose.
Oh, Ma. That's the...
I thought that's what I was trying to remember. I forgot. Mother is also another one.
Ugh. Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
The Mummy.
Mummy, the classic. Or the one with Brendan Fraser, you call. Or
the Universal Studios Ride.
Yes, one of the best.
The one with Brendan Fraser, that's not a horror. That's an action. That's not even a sci-fi.
Yeah, when you say the Mummy, it's
gotta
classic
be the old
Universal.
Yeah,
classic Universal Mummy.
Misery.
That isn't scary in any way, shape, or form.
Of course not. Number three, Minority Report.
Minority Report.
Speaking of Tom Cruise.
Under sci-fi, no question about it.
Yeah. Number two, The Matrix.
Matrix. Mm-hmm.
And from the fan, number one, Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my five. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number five.
Yes.
Moonraker.
I had that on my list, too.
The Jimmy Bond film.
Number four, and I couldn't remember if there was one that was just called this, so I put Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's part three. Tina Turner.
Yeah. Millennium, mm-hmm. which there was a series of that as well, yeah. And it was a sci-fi.
Nobody's interested.
Unrelated.
Number two. Oh, I thought
I
they were related.
You need my commentary. Yeah.
No, okay.
This isn't doing your nerds at trivia again. So, quiet down.
Literally commentating his picks. What an asshole. Who the fuck do I think I am?
I don't know. I'm just glad to see you have a spine for a minute.
You got Dean Withers in your system, you got crazy today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did rile you up a little bit. All right.
Number two,
Magic.
Had Magic on your list.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
And number one.
We have a winner.
Yeah.
The Matrix.
The Matrix. There we go. Matt Belknap wins some money.
did you ever bring in that money from the fan who wanted to?
Maybe. I think I have two fives with me.
Yeah, I do.
Here. Just, you know what? Leave that out. Leave that in. So you get an extra five.
Yeah. But then doesn't Elliot need to get one of those too?
No, I got mine. You have to put it in the
This in the
in the trivia tin, the coffee.
Right. And so here we go. Tea. So we're counting to 10 by 5s, Chris. Chris, stop Googling who fucked who.
You're like, just like they're addicted to getting laid, you're addicted to finding out about it.
Yeah, I'm addicted to the research.
Gonna have to face it. That's what gets me off.
Here? Now?
All right, here we go. We're counting to 10 by fives. Ready? Here we go.
Five. 10.
Congratulations, Matt, and thank you to the fan
thank
for the
you.
Extra $5.
I don't even remember why I got the other five, but I know it was
a fan. A fan gave me when I was selling my merch in Columbus.
Right.
It was $10, and he said, "Well, here's 20. Put it in the trivia tin in the fucking letter game."
And I won some trivia thing 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations, yeah. You deserve it, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Hey, that's it. Thanks for having
That's
me.
That's it. You're done. Go to your Universal office and show off. Throw your badge around you and your buddy.
Who else has got a high number?
Yeah, go ask around the studio. Like maybe they'll
hey,
find
you,
out.
How many people you fucked?
There's actually this guy in marketing who's doing really well. I don't know if you've heard of him.
The background actor guy. Big numbers.
Why wouldn't he? Talks to everybody.
Sure.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for supporting the program. Truly appreciate it. Don't forget Plano, Texas this week, as well as Austin and Salt Lake City. I hope to see you out there. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, looking over there, there's Garrett Cochran at Video Village. That's Elliot Hopper at the Honcho Man Bell. Our friend Chris Witowski. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.